about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Good to see you, man. Is it hot in here? I feel hot. Are you guys hot? How you guys doing? I'm good. You guys got any snacks?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Darlene had a problem. She was fat. Darlene had gone online and ordered tapeworm larvae from Venezuela. She swallowed it, and soon enough, her little diet friend had set up shop in her small intestine and began feeding on anything Darlene ate. It was a good deal. The fatter the tapeworm grew, the skinnier Darlene became. Darlene finally fit into a size 4 dress. Too bad she wore it at her funeral.
Testing. Testing. Hello? Testing. This is a special transmission.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I like penis.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I know. Sexual harassment, yada, yada, yada.
Roll another one.
Did you hear the fart just then?
Like the other one.
I don't even. What's the point?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Make love to my buttocks, Manny.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
We do not have time for this kind of silliness.
Roll. Roll another one.
I would so rather be in prison.
Just like the other one.
Open wide for Chunky.
This one seems to be about.
Painted panties for you.
I don't have another cent.
Thanks a lot for joining us, pal. Take care.
Bye-bye. Asshole.
But don't bogart that joint.
Rock and roll, hoochie-coo.
Just pass it around.
I'm happy to say that. I don't even get that.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Have you ever tried the fudge sprinkler?
And now...
My vagina ain't handicapped. Vagina ain't handicapped. So what, I can't walk. My vagina ain't handicapped.
It's the coolest story I've ever heard in my entire life. That's insane. Can I hear it again?
Our feature presentation.
That might be the best song ever. That's true.
I agree.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Friday morning.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
So it's you and Beer Mug in a room? That's what your deal? That's your job today?
Yeah.
Look, it's just us here, so.
This has got to be weird, because, you know, usually Kevin's your eye candy, and but today you're just stuck with the Mugs, who's 28 looks 80.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, but
What I know about Mugs is he's a closer.
Yep.
Exactly, Kevin.
Make that happen.
Now that his competition is out of the way, there's no question that he's going to end up with Lisa May by noon today.
He's got the mug hug, you guys. You don't know about the mug hug.
Yeah.
No, we don't.
Best hugger I've ever met in my life.
What?
I'm telling you. And it just fills you with good feelings. And I don't mean that in a, you know.
An icky way.
An icky way.
Is it because he's fat?
No, come on.
I don't mean fat, but I mean overweight by a lot.
There's a little more to hug with Mugs.
What's his approach? What is he doing?
I don't know.
Because
like
I just rub up on you. That's how I hug. I just look for an opportunity
and you poke.
Yeah, I poke, right.
Please.
What's Mugs doing?
He kind of... It's a full body hug, and it's with real meaning, and I don't know. It's the best hug ever.
Does he hug like a girl?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess.
Then that makes sense. The reason I bring up that Lisa and Muggs are sitting in a room, K-I-S-S-I-N-G, is that Kevin is in Chicago. Kevin, Dave the King of Mexico, in Chicago right now, where Lollapalooza is happening this weekend. How's it going for you guys today?
Fantastic. So far, so good. It's a couple hours later than where you are. So we got up late. We walked to the radio station. It was sunny. It's really bizarre.
Wow.
No, that's a nice way to work. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Now, really bizarre.
I know that you didn't get in and go, okay, it's a school night. Let's get to bed early. I know you guys went out last night.
We actually went to bed.
What?
We did.
What?
Come on. We were both tired. And the thing about Lollapalooza is it's Friday and Saturday and Sunday.
Right. It's a long weekend.
So we got a long weekend ahead of us. And Dave, by the way, super injured. This is going to go well. But we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about Dave's injury later, but he does have a sprained ankle, and all you do here is walk, so good luck.
I'm just shocked that you guys didn't say, well, of course we're tired, and of course we got a long weekend, but come on, we're in Chicago. Let's go out.
We have all those great bars.
It'll happen. Take it easy.
All right. Well, you're disappointing us, that's all, because, you know, we wanted Drunk Kevin today, because Drunk Kevin is so much fun.
All right.
All right, here's the story I wanted to mention just briefly. I don't know about you, Kevin, but I think a lot of kids growing up, particularly boys, they grow up listening to baseball on the radio, and they go, man, that would be the gig, would be doing play-by-play for baseball. Or I guess for any sport. Baseball is what I think of. But, yeah, for any sport. I mean, doing play-by-play is just one of those jobs. There are very few of those jobs. A lot of times people, they get those jobs, they hang on to them for, you know, 20, 30, 40 years sometimes. But, I mean, it's a sweet gig, right?
Well, I would think it would be a sweet gig for any sport where something happens. But baseball, I mean, you have to fill and fill and fill. Fill and fill. That would be a difficult gig.
When you hear guys do it well, though, man, it's an art form. And you got to look at them and just go, well, they have a contest that they do in SNY, which is the satellite or cable, I should say, network that carries New York Mets games throughout the northeastern United States. They have a contest every year where they have a kid come down and call half an inning. I don't know what they do if you write an essay or it's just a drawing. I don't know what it is. But it happened this past week. And Jacob Resnick, 11 years old, got the opportunity to call half an inning in the broadcast booth for the Mets, along with, you know, they're a play-by-play team, Ron Darling and Keith Hernandez. I mean, the regular guys, right? So he's up there doing their job. So I just thought I thought the kid was terrific. And I'm trying to think what I would have sounded like at 11 in his situation, where I'm on the radio/TV calling a major league game and a home run. What would that be like at 11? But I thought you might like to hear a little bit about what Jacob sounded like.
And he will face him for the second time in his career. He faced him earlier, of course.
I thought that was so funny, by the way, because he is self-aware enough to realize that
he faced him earlier, of course.
Of course, right.
So here's the first pitch from him, and Reyes rips it. Back it goes! It's good! Swing from Jose there. A great swing, Jose, as we look on the replay. And it was a breaking ball hung right out in the middle, and Reyes just ripped it to left field. His first home run since July 23rd. Fifth home run of the year. 36th RBI.
That was fantastic, Jake.
That was a great call. Come on with that kid, right?
Sign him up. F that kid. He's better than I would be now.
Me too.
Come on.
He's 11, and he's, I mean, granted, they had information, they handed him information, I'm sure, but I mean, the way he worked in about, you know, with the count and how often, how many home runs he hits, and what was the last time he hit one, and he described the pitch about the hang.
Pitch,
and, I mean,
it hung over the plate.
Right. He's 11. Are you kidding me? This kid won this contest. So funny.
I am not happy with that.
Yeah. I know. He does not make all of us look good. But
no.
Anyway, I just thought that was interesting. I thought y'all might enjoy it.
Thank you.
I don't have today's schedule, Bean, so why don't you tell us about today's show?
Everybody say hey!
Hey!
Oh! Everybody scream!
We got
that.
There's
a grown adult sounding like that. That's what he sounds like compared to the 11-year-old kid. Well, we got a lot of show planned for you today, including, speaking of sports, our friend Petros Papadakis is going to be joining us from the Petros and Money Show, going to be talking about the NFL preview. By the way, I think, am I wrong about this? I think the first NFL preseason game is like tonight or something, or maybe it's next week. But it's I think it's next week, next Friday, I think.
They've had nothing but time to prepare, so that's
nothing
good.
But time. They barely met each other, yet they're playing football next week. So we'll talk to Petros about that in the NBA lockout as well. Got the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices that we didn't have time for yesterday. We got that on today's program. It's Friday. That means Ralph's got the movie beat. The greatest human in the world, Mr. Skin, is going to be joining us. Have you had a chance to preview his contest? Is there his
I have not.
Oh, he's got this thing with the 100 best nude scenes of all time on his website right now.
Oh, only the 100 about. Best? Fantastic.
Yes.
You mean
they're voting
skin-tastic.
On the best nude scene. It is skin-tastic. Thank you very much. Jersey Shore returned last night. I'm proud to say that once again this season I will not be watching. But this is the premiere episode of them going to Italy so they can embarrass the United States in all sorts of different ways. And we're going to welcome back our old friend LaQuisha. She's going to be doing the recap for us again this season. So
talked
she'll be
briefly
joining us on the program.
With LaQuisha yesterday. Not
did
thrilled to be watching Jersey Shore again, I don't think.
She
we'll
loves
have to wait and find out.
Stupid white people. What
she
are you talking
does,
about?
And for that from that angle, she loves it. But then uh-huh. There's also the other angle, which is the reason why you hate it, which is that they're a-holes.
Right.
So I don't know.
And LaQuisha's busy running a hair salon, and the last thing she wants to do is get up at the crack of ass to come on our show and talk about stupid white people on TV, I guess. But
that's
she's awesome that she does it. And a brand new round of the Kevin Citizen of the Day coming up next hour for you as well. Ralph's got the showbiz beat when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Finally a Friday. Ralph Garman now joins us in studio for a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
I'm going to do the entire showbiz beat as Mumford. Baby love autos
nope.
Drinking again.
Nope.
Her friends are worried that she's off the wagon. They're concerned about her health. Details aren't clear. Details aren't clear. Apparently she is partying again, and friends are hoping she won't have another trip to the rehab because Demi likes to party a little bit too hard sometimes, causes trouble in her personal and professional life. Kevin.
That can happen.
Yes, it can.
Not to me, but I mean it can happen to other people.
Mm-hmm. And she's so hot, and I hate it when hot girls are sad. That really bums me out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Taint. Gwen Stefani is ready to debut her new fashion line. Singer and mom of two now tells Us Weekly magazine she's always wanted to do a children's line of clothing. So she's got the Harajuku mini line.
Hey!
It will be debuting at Target stores on November the 13th. Circle your calendars. That's November the 13th for the Harajuku mini line. If you want to dress your daughter as a small Japanese whore, your opportunity will be just before the lucrative gift-giving holiday season. So make sure you get yourself to Target.
I think that'll be very popular. I think that's a home run right there.
All right.
I saw Tony from No Doubt at LA Live.
Yes, sir.
And I said, hey, how about some new music? How about that new No Doubt album? And he said, you got me.
Oh, what? Really?
I was like, really? You don't know? Come on now.
You're in the band.
You're supposed to have that info.
I've heard they've been in the studio now for a while working on that.
10 years now.
No, not 10 years in the studio. Didn't he mention that they, right around the corner?
Of course, they've been in, yes. I mean, they've been, the rumor has been, and it'll come out any day, and it's just been for another 4 months ago, you know? So I said, hey, when's it coming out? He didn't know.
Oh, come on now, Tony.
That's what I'm saying.
Zac Efron's ready to meet his girlfriend's parents. And did. Us Weekly Magazine says Zac met Rumor Willis's mom Demi Moore, and she approves. Zac Efron and Rumor Willis.
Hmm. What's that? What's that deal?
They are young and in love.
Hmm. But you said a girl.
Yes. Well, I mean, she's mannish. If that helps Zac, and I'm sure it does.
He could do better, right?
No,
better boys.
He's better with men, but that's about it. Hey, why do women like to get gifts for every occasion? And I understand the big ones, birthdays, Christmas, anniversaries, Valentine's Day. I understand why we're on the hook for most of them. But are you familiar with the phenomenon of the push present?
No.
No.
The push present is what a woman now gets after she successfully pushes out a child.
Ah. And I didn't know the name of it, but I am aware of the gift.
Yes. Apparently, In Touch magazine reports that Jessica Alba has already made her request to her husband, Cash Warren, as to what she wants for her push present.
Oh, not much of a present if she's telling him what she wants.
Now you get a registry. That's nice. You get
demand.
You get a cesarean registry or something. She said she wanted a $54,000 Frank Mueller watch that's encrusted with diamonds. Wow. That's what she wants for giving birth to the second child.
But in her defense, it is her money, so why not?
Right,
that's
exactly.
True. Cash is not exactly bringing in his namesake these days, I'm guessing. So, but still, you know, you don't make the request, right?
I would think.
You
so.
Just say thank you for whatever you get.
Yeah, I agree, Ralph. I agree. I didn't know until maybe last year that you're supposed to buy your intended, your soon-to-be spouse, a wedding present also.
Oh, come on. I've never heard that before.
Yes, that is a thing now, too.
What? You give each other a gift on the day of the wedding.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I never knew.
That's
I never
new
heard,
to me.
Never heard that
yeah,
before.
I gave her a gift.
You know what I mean? She wishes she could have returned it. She wishes she had kept the receipt. You know
what
I mean?
It was a used gift, you know what I mean?
Why isn't it enough? Oh, Mumford's back. Why isn't it enough that you're marrying this person? Why isn't that the gift? Well, is I'm going to be your other half.
In your wife's case, that is no gift.
You know what I'm saying, though?
You should have given her some Nazi gold in a case or something. You should have given her something spectacular for marrying you.
I just don't get it.
It's just a show of love and affection. It's just.
But isn't the fact that I'm walking down the aisle and saying I do enough of a show of love and affection for that particular day?
How
of all the days
it must be for you to be nice to a person, Bean. I can imagine.
But of all the days in the world that you shouldn't also get a gift, it seems like the day you are marrying them, that's enough for that day.
And all you're doing
am I crazy
getting
here?
Presents from people.
Yes, but this is a personal little keepsake thing that you get from your betrothed on the most important day of your life.
More important than the ring that you're about to put on your finger?
Oh, Bina, why are
bitter
you so
party
angry
of one.
About
it? Come on.
It's not that I'm bitter. I just don't understand it.
I know.
It's a gift, and a gift is a show of love.
It does involve human interaction and affection. I can see why you're perplexed.
But it's a show of love on a day where you're already making a show of love statement that's 1,000 times more than the gift. The gift seems completely superfluous at that point.
Oh, I wish you would die. Right?
Right?
You're with me, Ralph.
Totally. You know me. You know me.
Thank you, Lisa.
I'm down with OPP. And lastly, MTV has added a new category to their Video Music Awards. The VMAs will feature a new category this year, Best Video with a Message. Yes, what? This is just for videos that feature positive messages for the viewers. Nominees in that category are Pink, Effing Perfect, Lady Gaga, Born This Way, Katy Perry, Firework, Eminem featuring Rihanna, Love the Way You Lie, Rise Against for Make It Stop, and Taylor Swift for Mean. So the best video that has a positive message will receive that award this year.
That's a terrible idea.
Wait a minute. She's saying Mean. Wasn't that the most childish, dumb,
that's her song
angry
about
song
bullying.
Ever?
It's about don't be mean to other people, though. That's the message there. Don't be a bully. Listen, I will not accept anything about positive messages from the network that brings us Jersey Shore, okay? You, MTV, you lose that right. This does not make up for anything. 16 and pregnant and my sweet 16 and all the hellish messages you spew out on a regular day, you network of Satan. Today's celebrity birthdays, Funkmaster Flex!
Yeah!
Woo! He's 43 years old.
Speaking of MTV, he had his own show for a long time, right?
That's right. Adam Yauch from The Bee.
Steve!
Boys is 47 years old.
Steve!
Nothing like the multiple time delays
that's
in
like an echo.
Chicago and Seattle.
Steve!
No radio show has ever sounded tighter. Tawny Catane celebrates her 50th birthday. Pat Smear from the legendary bands Foo Fighters and... anyone else?
Scream.
Scream.
Yeah. The Germs.
Germs.
There we go. Yeah. 52 years old today. Maureen McCormick. Marsha is old. She's 55 years old today. And Neil Armstrong, you may remember him. He was the guy who walked around on the moon for the first time.
Yeah.
Got out of the capsule and stepped on that big rock up there in the sky.
We know him as Not Buzz.
I'm not Buzz. That's what he says to the girls. It's a great pickup line. By the way, dude had one line, effed it up. Had one line they gave him, effed it up. He is no actor. One goddamn line to deliver, couldn't get it right.
How do you eff it up?
A-hole. Because he was supposed to say, this is a small step for a man, but a giant leap for mankind. And I'm saying, this is a small step for man and a giant leap for mankind, which is exactly the same thing. Exactly. You're an asshole, Neil Armstrong. I wish you had died on the moon.
Oh, come on.
Douchebag. One effing line. Lying. The cue cards on the moon. That moron. American hero, my ass. American dumbass. That's what he is. I'm not Buzz. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show, we were talking about football a few minutes ago. The Oakland Raiders have hired a grandmother as one of their cheerleaders. We will discuss coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, I don't like this. This has the feel of an intervention in here right now. Kevin, what are you talking about?
You know how occasionally people will view you and all of a sudden somebody will tell you, hey, why are you so fill in the blank, crazy, stupid, whatever.
And
you
go, I hope not.
And you go, that's what people think about me? Because you don't have that insight into yourself at all?
Mm-hmm.
Bean cannot understand for the life of him why people think he's creepy.
I'm not creepy.
He can't see that about himself.
And there it is.
And there it is.
But I'm not. Lisa, do you think I'm creepy?
You can be creepy.
How dare you? So yesterday.
Wait a minute. You asked her opinion. You don't just say, how dare you? She answered your question. Yeah. You could be creepy.
She's wrong. She's just jumping in on the mob mentality of let's lynch Bean. But listen, so yesterday on this show, this was very disturbing. And I know, Kevin, you think I should see that conversation. And I know you have some highlights to play from yesterday. I should see this conversation as some sort of an intervention, some sort of an eye opener, right?
Get a clue, because you can deliver things in a non-creepy way, and yet you always choose creepy.
Mm-hmm. I think you say it's creepy, but it's not really. But yesterday we found out that intern Santana, who maybe is the most attractive intern we've ever had on the Kevin and Bean Show. She's so hot. We found out yesterday that she thinks I'm creepy. And that was very, very disturbing to me. And I guess the reason, what, the clip says that it has something to do with Twitter, right?
It's you tweeting her. Yes, I have the clip. And this is from yesterday's show. Intern Santana.
Bean tends to have a perverted side.
What? Really? What have I done? What have I said?
Like the time you tweeted at me.
Oh, what did he tweet you?
No. I tweeted, about to eat 3 popsicles to beat the heat.
Right.
Hashtag no shame. Like, I didn't even think it was being sexual. But of course,
wasn't.
He tweets me back being like, hope there's video footage of that. I want to see it.
Oh, no wonder. No. It's the tweet world.
Tell me you wouldn't have said the same thing if you pictured Santana eating popsicles to beat the heat.
Bean,
that's a good deal.
Bean, listen to me. We all think it. We all don't say it because it's creepy. So my crime is being too honest. That's the problem I have.
No, your crime's being creepy and perverted.
You're creepy.
Who knew that Bean was even like skeeving on the interns by following him on Twitter and stuff?
I don't skeeve.
Yeah, I wish I had video of that. I'm Buzz.
Video coverage of that. Where else are you putting the popsicle?
Man.
Hashtag disgusting pervert.
No wonder.
So that happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Right.
And Bean was shocked and outraged that we would think that he's creepy.
I am shocked because, as I explained to Santana yesterday in the last conversation she'll probably ever have with me, she's an intern on this show. And part of the reason she wanted to intern on the show is because she was already a fan of the Kevin and Bean
Show.
So I thought, here's somebody who has a similar sense of humor to ours.
Mm-hmm.
She will get the joke and, wish I'd video you with the popsicles, because clearly that's me being funny. That's not me skeeving on her at all. So now you guys are trying to make it sound like I'm sitting at home just, doing nothing but seeing who I can sexually harass on the internet. That's just not the case.
It's funny that you would claim that's just not the case, because you know that microphone that you're talking to?
This one right here? Yeah, of course.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah, we can hear it. We can tune into it.
Mm-hmm.
And, what are you talking about? What do you mean?
I have a piece of tape. This is from you. While you were tweeting Santana.
Well, that's not fair. I mean, that's hardly
while
fair.
While you were tweeting Santana. I'm just saying, you said...
Private time.
You don't skeeve. You don't. You're not creepy.
So let's see if that's true.
So let's see exactly how it went down.
Teeter tot, down. Go play with Gumdrop and Foo Foo Bear.
3 popsicles. Where's the video feed for that? You're perverted.
What? How could you say that? If you think I'm perverted, you should see my genitals. Leave me alone. If I was with you, there would be no leaving. That's why I use the chains in the basement.
Come on.
I'm Bean.
I'm going to alert the authorities. Maybe you should make a citizen's arrest and handcuff my genitals.
I'm Bean.
I've called the police. What does Sting have to do with any of this? Oh, that's not sexy. But it is funny.
So now you know what really happened.
Clearly not what happened. Hey, party people, on a Friday, Petros Papadakis joins us in a few minutes to talk all things sports. And I understand he's got some residual anger over the way The Bachelorette worked out. And you know how P gets invested in his shows, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we'll be talking about all that coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show, plus a brand new Wheel O Bad Animal Voices on the way. But first, how about Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day?
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
I have three of them today, and they all involve getting pulled over by officers and the response that happened once they got pulled over. Maybe not the smartest people in the world. One was an Ohio woman. She got pulled over, and the deputy asked her to get out of the car, and she said, "I'm breastfeeding." And the deputy said, "Ma'am, I'm going to need you to step out of the car." And the woman took the baby away from her boob. She was breastfeeding.
Oh, my God.
And squirted the officer with breast milk.
That is so strangely hot.
Nope. That is not at all hot.
I mean, that's terrible. Why would somebody do such an awful thing?
She was in court last month on a charge of assault and obstruction of official business. And so, spraying an officer with breast milk.
Was she driving down the road while she's breastfeeding? I bet that happens a lot.
No, it doesn't. Because if you're in an accident, that kid is dead.
Yeah, but how often are you in an accident? Look, kid's hungry,
when
right?
When you're breastfeeding while driving, probably more than you're not.
I would think most people would pull over if they had to breastfeed. And certainly most people. And by the way, what kind of range did that woman have?
An aim.
He was standing outside the car. She was inside the car. That's like a 3-foot shot. Oh,
that's an excellent point.
Gosh.
That's pretty strong. Speaking of having kids in the car, there was a paralyzed man who was driving an ATV with PVC pipe.
Okay.
Because he couldn't push the gas and the brake pedal with his feet because he was paralyzed. So he had PVC pipe that he would push the gas and then the brake with. Mm-hmm. And he had a 5-year-old that was riding on it with him. Doesn't say if it was his kid or not. And a 2-year-old. Apparently, the man, of course, was paralyzed. He used the PVC pipe. Turned out the ride didn't go quite so well. And he capsized it or turned it over. The little kids were barely hurt. He was unable, it turns out, to right the ship because, he's paralyzed. So
that's right, yeah.
So the little kids had to run and find help. A 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, who were injured minorly, ran and got help. And then they helped the handicapped guy take the ATV off, and the police cited him.
This just sat on everyone.
So that seems serious, bad, right?
But let's talk about this for a second, Kevin, because when you're paralyzed, and eventually it's going to happen to you with the way you live, when you're paralyzed, nothing's going to stop you. You're going to say yes to everything. Hey, you want to take your kids on the ATV? Hell yes, I do. What's the worst that could happen? I'm already paralyzed, right? You're just going to go for it. You're going to be skydiving and you're going to be base jumping because seriously, what's left to damage?
You know, there's two things that are funny about that. One is that you wouldn't do it with a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Right.
And two is, I didn't read the part where the man was seriously injured. I don't know how much he had left to injure.
Well, I guess his upper body was in danger, I guess. But
he was seriously injured.
Because when you're engaged in that sort of activity, the fear is I'm going to be paralyzed. Anytime you're doing something super dangerous, the worst thing that can happen is I'm going to be paralyzed. That's why I'm just thinking, just go for it if you're this dude. But it sounds
That's what I'm thinking.
Plenty of other stuff to hurt, unfortunately.
And finally, police said just before 7 p.m. Tuesday, they responded to a crash in which a man named Mark McCarthy had struck a utility pole with his 2011 Mercedes. McCarthy was not injured, but the car sustained moderate front-end damage, and the pole had to be replaced. In addition to driving under the influence of alcohol or drugs, he was charged with failure to drive right. What does that mean? Is that a British thing?
I don't know.
That must be their version of reckless driving.
Failure to drive right. After being booked at the police department, McCarthy spent some time in jail, and then it was midnight, and the police said, "I think he's sober enough. Let's send him home." At 11:17 the next morning, police responded to a report of an erratic driver, and a man had hit a pole. They found Mark McCarthy behind the wheel. of a 1970s Pontiac Firebird. Different car, same guy, booked for drunk driving twice within 16 hours.
He cannot stay out of a car.
So or a bar. So a he bar. He gets out of the police station and immediately goes out and starts drinking again.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's fantastic.
And then finds another car and runs it into a pole. What's the chances? Even if you're drunk and you're driving, what are the chances you're going to hit two poles and not another car or just run into something else, a tree, something? But this guy hit both poles. McCarthy has a lengthy arrest record, it turns out, in Connecticut and Rhode Island with numerous convictions for drug possession, assault, violation of probation, failure to appear in court. He was arrested for driving under the influence in 1997. In 2002, they charged him with wrestling with another man on the lawn of a town hall while naked. And that came 2 months after police arrested him for walking naked down the street.
This guy's awesome.
He's got a lot of
hobbies. Perhaps maybe they should put this guy in jail. I don't know, forever, yeah. Because that's where he's going to spend the rest of his life, and that is the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
Now you know, Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Hey, speaking of the Red Hot Chili Peppers' new album, I'm With You, coming out later this month. When do we get to talk about the thing with the deal? With
not
the
now.
With the,
come not on. Right now.
Come on.
Can't talk about it now.
No, when you can't talk about it? Now.
Now.
Chili Peppers fans, though, will be so happy.
Yes,
right?
when we talk about it. But right. Can we talk about it now?
And here we are.
Yes.
Not, and here we are talking about it, yet we're not allowed to talk about it yet.
Not allowed to talk about it.
Oh, so not now is what you're saying.
Right. Correct. Well, you're going to have to wait.
Soon, we will have information you will love if you're a Chili Peppers fan on The Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, Ralph joins us with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, dude?
Before I get to Showbiz Beat, how about some passes to a red carpet world premiere? I think you've earned them for listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It's the least we could do for you. If you'd like to go, it's next Monday. It is for a film called 30 Minutes or Less.
Yay!
Jesse Eisenberg stars along with Aziz Ansari and Danny McBride. Brought to you by Ruben Fleischer, the director of Zombieland. Hilarious comedy. You get to see it alongside the stars. Walk the red carpet. The whole schmagegi. You will enjoy. First two callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. First two callers, boom, passes. That's how I roll. Step back. Get out of my grill. Also, speaking of tickets, tomorrow night, Kevin Smith and I doing our Hollywood Babylon show up at Universal City Walk at the John Lovitz Podcast Theater. You can go to Babylon Ralph or BabylonKev.com to buy tickets. And I suggest you do so online if you intend to go, because the last two shows, look at that, sold out. People coming up to the window saying, yeah, we just thought we'd cruise by and get our tickets for the show. No, you won't. Bye-bye. Go get a Cinnabon. No room for you here, sir. So a lot of people have been disappointed, so I want to make sure if you want to go, you get your tickets early. Because
Every Friday night. Remember, every
Saturday,
Friday night.
Saturday what? Nights at what? 10 p.m. Saturday nights at 10 p.m.
Saturday nights at 10 p.m.
Hollywood Babylon.
When do you move to a bigger venue like you did last time that got you into this location in the first place?
I don't think we will, because we like selling out. It's nice when you got a full house, and it's really close to our homes.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's important.
That is important for us.
And they never seem to run out of liquor, either.
No, they don't. And people are starting to come back multiple times, because it's a brand new show every week, because we do the showbiz news, so it's always fresh material, and people seem to like it, so we're very happy. Then next week, we're in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Wow.
Or Vegas, as we like to call it. Playing the Hard Rock Cafe on the Strip for Friday and Saturday nights next week. So
sweet.
You can go to csmod.com, SEESmod.com, for details and tickets about that. So it's just a very busy time in my life. I barely have time to talk about showbiz news, but I will manage. I will try. My favorite Hollywood couple of all is in the news. We've talked about them before, but not nearly enough. I need to start doing a daily update about them. They are Doug Hutchinson and Courtney Stodden. Doug Hutchinson, you may remember as Percy from The Green Mile. He was also in Lost. He played the leader of the Dharma Initiative when they did the flashback sequence.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Doug Hutchinson, he is 51 years old. His brand new bride, Courtney Stodden, she is a lusty 16-year-old.
What?
No.
Yes. I know, we talked about this. We had
Have you seen her picture, Kevin?
I've seen more than her picture. I've seen her videos and her interviews. She's magic.
No, I was asking Kevin because she looks 35, right, Ralph?
Easy. Like a hard 35. Like a rough 35. She is all teased blonde hair and fake eyelashes and full-blown makeup and giant cans and just couldn't be more of a bimbo.
And wants to be a star. That's her thing, right? She
so
wants so
badly.
Desperately to be famous.
Yes. And now
she is.
She is. She's famous for being a 16-year-old married to a 51-year-old.
And her parents
if you had me naked, I'd want more, right?
How dare you?
Wait, is that legal or with your parents' consent, it's okay?
It's legal if your parents consent, and they did.
How about that?
And Krista Stodden, Courtney's mom, did an interview this week where she said she couldn't be happier that her daughter is married to Doug Hutchinson, who, again, by the way, is 51 years old.
She must hate her daughter.
No, she loves her daughter. She says Doug is just so intelligent and such an all-around great guy that she couldn't ask for a better mate for her 16-year-old daughter.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll have to bring in some audio of the interview these two recently did on E! Because she is spectacular. She's one of these 60-year-olds who thinks she is 40, so she tries to talk intellectually and a lot of depth, you know?
Love it.
And she literally, at one point in the interview, says, so, like, we met, and then there we were, together, on the wings of love. And not in an ironic sense at all that she used that phrase.
Man.
It's pretty magic. I recommend it highly.
I keep looking at this story from every angle, Ralph, and I'm trying to find out who the loser is here, because there's clearly something wrong going on. But every person involved, from the parents to the couple, all seem to be deliriously happy with this arrangement. So, does that make it okay?
No.
Sure.
No, the parents never should have signed off on that.
No, that's the first. They're the gatekeepers.
One.
Courtney is 16 years old, and obviously she's got a lot of big dreams and things, as a lot of 16-year-olds do. And I can't really blame her for thinking that this is going to last forever and that this is magic and this is a match made in heaven. But the parents should know better and step in and protect her from that, right? Even if it makes her unhappy.
Yes.
Because, yes, everyone's happy now. But what happens on her 21st birthday when she's married to a 56-year-old and she realizes, oh, my God, what have I done?
Yeah. I mean, murder-suicide is the best we can hope for, right?
No, that's not what we hope for.
It's never the best we can
hope for. Well, if you're going to have sex, it might as well be with me.
That's right. That's what he said to her. Jennifer Lopez has ruffled some feathers. My favorite organization in the world, PETA, is upset with her.
Oh, sweet. Now I like her.
She is upset people for the ethical treatment of animals. Why else? Because she's wearing a fur coat. She wears one, a white coat made of fox pelts, on the cover of Vanity Fair magazine.
Shame on her.
And so they are none
too pleased. Foxes don't have anything to offer us. Right?
They make great pets. Oh, no, wait a minute. No, they don't. The leader of PETA says that there's only two reasons anyone wears fur. They're either ignorant or arrogant. And Jennifer Lopez falls into the second category. Which shows how short-sighted PETA is, because there are three reasons people wear fur. Either they're ignorant, they're arrogant, or they're fabulous!
It's true.
And that's why J-Lo's wearing it, because it's fabulous! Yeah. Really, though, with the leaps and bounds they've come with faux fur these days, there really is no need to wear actual fur anymore.
No,
really,
I agree.
Especially when it upsets people so much. But if we don't wear real fur, my fear is the foxes will take over the world. It'll be the Planet of the Foxes, starring
right
James Franco.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. This fox is getting very intelligent. Next thing you know, you got a fox at your door trying to sell you Amway or something. You don't need that.
Nobody wants that.
That is some BS.
That's what they're going to do?
Yeah. That's the worst thing. I can imagine a fox at my door trying to, you know.
Sell you soap.
Yeah.
Because what are you going to do? Turn it down?
No, it's fox. No way. It's going to bite my ankles off if I don't buy some vitamins. And Entertainment Weekly got a hold of the Q scores. Are you familiar with the Q scores are?
Sure.
For those who don't know, the Q score is a score that TV producers and also TV advertisers, they give TV personalities. It rates their popularity amongst people who watch television. So if you're going to look for, let's say, a spokesperson for your product and you want to put a commercial together with a celebrity endorsement, you pick someone with a high Q score because it means there's a very favorable opinion of them in the TV audience.
They're widely known and also widely liked.
Yes. Here's the top seven. Your head's going to explode.
Okay.
Michael Weatherly is the seventh most popular actor on television.
What? And he's from what show?
NCIS.
I had no idea.
Seventh most popular man on television.
Are you? I would not have guessed he would be in the top 100 people on television.
It gets weirder. Nathan Fillion from Castle.
That I believe.
Sixth.
That I believe.
Sixth most popular actor on television.
He's unbelievably likable,
though. He is enormously charming, and I do watch Castle every week. David McCallum from NCIS is fifth on that list.
Stop it.
Did they only pull NCIS fans?
Mark Harmon from, you guessed it, NCIS is fourth on the list. Jim Parsons?
NCIS?
No, Big Bang Theory. Big Bang Theory.
He's this is a CBS windfall, list. Man.
Cote DiPablo, who plays Ziva David on NCIS.
Oh, come on.
He or she is second on the list as the most popular person on television.
No.
Number one most popular person on television, between actors and actresses, by the way, according to the Q scores.
If you tell me it's LL Cool J from NCIS, I'm walking out.
No, it's Pauly Perrette.
Not Pauly from Jersey Shore.
Pauly Perrette, no. From NCIS.
Come on.
Most popular actor and or actress on television.
Wrong. Are there no women on there?
I think Pauly Perrette, I think, is a woman.
Oh,
and
really?
I think maybe Cote DiPablo was also a woman.
All right.
So they said, fans of NCIS, who do you like?
This is total television. This shows you how out of touch we are with television and what the rest of America is watching and thinking and loving.
Well, I mean, I know they're huge shows. I know they are top 5 to top 10 every single week. I get that. But I still don't know what makes those people that famous and that popular, because there's a big universe of people out there who don't watch those shows, too.
Well, they aren't loving people the way people love NCIS, apparently. My head spun when I read that.
I can't. Michael Weatherly is starting to look like a great choice now.
The only two people on the list that aren't from NCIS are Nathan Fillion and Jim Parsons from Big Bang Theory.
I've never heard of some of them.
All.
That's shocking.
It's magic. Today's celebrity birthday is Funkmaster Flex. He's 43 years old today. Adam Yauch from Boys. He is 47. Tawny Kitaen is 50 years old. Pat Schmier celebrates his 52nd birthday. Maureen McCormick, she was Marcia on the legendary Brady Bunch show. She's 55 years old today. And Neil Armstrong, dude who walked on the moon for the first time, 81 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That's the voice of our man, Kevin. He and Dave, the King of Mexico, are in Chicago for Lollapalooza this weekend. I, Bean, behind the desk here in Seattle, like always. Lisa, Beer Mug, and Petros Papadakis in the Los Angeles studio today.
Yes.
Hey, what's up, the P?
What's cracking with y'all? What are you guys doing there? Everybody's all strewn across the country doing their own thing, huh?
Yeah.
One of these kids is doing his own thing. One of these kids is not like the other.
P, we've got so much ground to cover, so many things to talk about.
Yes.
Honestly, I wish you could stay for the whole hour. Maybe you can. I don't know.
You know, sure. Whatever. All I have is a 30 for 30 appointment with the Evil Four Letter Network to talk about Todd Marinovich later today.
Oh, you're going to be on that 30 for 30 special?
Well,
awesome.
They asked me to, yeah. And I'm
Those are pretty good.
Talk about Todd Marinovich, who's a nice guy.
All right.
Yeah, he's one of the spectacular flameouts in the history of sports,
He was my idol, and then later in life I had to sit there and sift through news about him being a heroin addict. So very interesting.
All right. I almost don't know where to start, but because I'm so fascinated with the possible repercussions of this, I want to start just briefly. Kevin, I know you hate baseball, but you'll love this story that involves Alex Rodriguez. He could be in some real trouble with the Yankees. Tell people what's going on with him.
Well, I guess he was at some bougie poker game with, like, Matt Damon and Tobey Maguire and a bunch of other douchebags, and he was playing poker, high-stakes poker, and apparently dudes were getting yacked up, you know? Doing cocaine.
Meaning there were some drugs.
The white lady. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah, that evil powder that blows people down, that makes people go around and say, hey, you want a bump? Hey, you want to do a bump? You want a bump? Want a bump? Want a bump?
Are we talking about cocaine, which we identified 30 seconds ago?
You guys want to do a gummer? You guys want to do a gummer? Just a real quick gummer. Nothing else. Just a gummer. I mean, I know I was getting late, but just a quick gummer.
So, no one is suggesting that A-Rod was doing the drugs, right? Because he's too busy doing steroids to have time to do cocaine.
I don't think that there are huge repercussions. I think he's going to have to talk to Major League Baseball about it, because the story came out and they want to act like they did something or but being proactive.
Isn't gambling the third rail of baseball for some reason? Yeah, that's the thing that they really come down on. I mean, if you gamble
on baseball is the third rail of baseball. So if you're gambling on baseball and playing baseball, if you're gambling on any sport and playing that sport, that's the third rail. That's a big deal. But these dudes live in casinos. I've seen A-Rod in Vegas, you know, with $30,000 strewn across a roulette table. And I've seen Kerry Collins and all the Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt. I mean, all these guys, they go to Vegas and they like to spread money around the roulette table. And then they stand there. Usually they wear turquoise jackets. You know what I mean? Like a turquoise and turquoise jacket.
Because they're trying to not get noticed.
Yeah, real stylish, you know, kind of like Ocean's 11.
If you're A-Rod, and how old is he now? Is he 30 yet?
Oh, yeah. He's in his 30s.
In his 30s. Okay. He's making $20-something million a year. What are you going to do with all that money? That's one of the perks of being a multimillionaire, right?
Charles
is being
Barkley.
Able to play in a high-stakes game.
These guys gamble. He might get slapped on the wrist, but it's not. I really don't think it's a salvation issue. I just think people like to talk about the story because there's coke involved. Matt Damon's involved. He was in Rounders. There's poker. A-Rod sitting there with his frosted tips. And
that's what it is, by the way. It's that people hate A-Rod. That's what. And Lisa's right. He's also previously been in trouble with gambling before. I mean, he's been slapped down for this before.
Well, he's been in trouble for a few different things. But all of it is just stems from arrogance and being, you know, too big for his britches, which...
Well,
that's most of these baseball players.
Last question on this then.
Tens of millions of dollars to stand there and scratch themselves. I mean, that's baseball, and they're all such weenies. I mean, all we do is celebrate this guy, Derek Jeter, right? And I know he's great and all this, but I saw Derek Jeter pop a shoulder out and lay on the freaking baseball field for 30 minutes because he popped a shoulder. It's like, your legs work. I played football. Get up and walk off. You sicken me, you big weenie. You pansy. But that's baseball. And to be honest, that's basketball, too. Football guys and hockey guys are tough, but everybody else is a big, giant
baseball
weenie.
Baseball players are weenies. I'm with you there.
Such all weenies.
Right. You brought up football. Do I have this right? The first preseason game among players who may barely know each other at this point because the camp's just open is... 6 days from now, next Thursday is when it all kicks off?
Sure.
How's that going to go?
It'll be fine. Look, guys, this is the thing. I know there's been a lockout, and I know they haven't had their mini camps, and I know camp is going to be a little shorter, and the only thing we really lost was a Hall of Fame game, and some hot dog vendor in Canton, Ohio is just devastated right now. But to be honest with you, these guys are pros. This is pro football. So they're expected to play and react and do whatever they do on the drop of a hat, at the drop of any moment, they have to play. And 6 days is plenty of time for a pro football team to get ready. Preseason football is created so teams can get ready and see what they have. They don't have to be perfect. That's the whole point of preseason football. So that whole rust argument with the NFL, it doesn't go very far.
But what about shape and conditioning? I would imagine not everybody was as diligent with working out as they should have been.
Look, these guys are, again, professional athletes, and they can get into football shape in about 8 or 9 days. And 6 days in is not a bad thing. And most of the guys I know, and it's a lot of guys, they work out, you know, 6 hours a day in the off season. And that's football. They have to run.
Wow.
They have to run and they have to lift and they have to do their other stuff, you know, fast twitch stuff or massage type of stuff or treatment type of stuff. It's a 6 hour day in the off season. And that goes for college football players too. So these guys are in shape. And if they're not, they get fined. So I have no issue with the quality of what the NFL is going to be starting out this preseason and going through the year.
Have there been any surprises for you with some of the changes that the teams have made when they became allowed to make those changes within the last couple weeks? Teams like Chicago and Tennessee and Seattle are looking at Philadelphia in particular are looking so much different from last year already.
We knew that there was going to be a great deal of movement with free agency. And frankly, you know, it's very difficult to keep up with and everything moves so quickly. And everybody kind of had their marching orders and knew what their plan was going to be while this lockout was coming to an end. I just like how every football player on earth was just a hero, and now the NBA guys are the most evil people on earth because they're still locked out. But it's exciting to have NFL football. To me, it's just such a homogenized thing. Every team is the same. Every city is the same. Every guy is the same. There's nothing really unique about the NFL other than the fact that the football, the level of football every year is just so freaking high. It has become so specialized that the margin of victory is wafer thin, and it is a lot of fun to watch, but it doesn't have what college football has for me, which is mistakes. College football's got young guys, idiot young guys, and they make mistakes, and that leads to more exciting football, just in my opinion. But yeah, a lot of teams look different. Our guy Nnamdi Asamoah, the Raider cornerback at a Narbonne High School, home of the Gauchos on Western Avenue in Lomita, California. He went to the Eagles, and Ralph's excited about that. And Kevin Cobb, who was an Eagle quarterback, is now in Arizona. And Hasselbeck was in Seattle last year with Jake Locker at University of Washington. Both those guys are now 1-2 at Tennessee. So there is a lot of movement. But it's going to look like the same NFL, and it's going to be billions and billions of dollars being made. The damn thing's a cash cow. Everybody loves it.
Sure. All right, we got to take a break. Petros Papadakis is in here from the PMS Radio Show, nationally syndicated across this great land of ours. We're going to talk about
The
Bachelorette.
About that. I hate it. She's a shrill, mousy, okay, awful, stand by with shrew that. Of a woman.
We're also going to get an update on the NBA lockout. And then we're going to buy some truck nuts for Petros before he leaves, too. We're going to take care of all of that when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Last night was the return of Jersey Shore in Italy, don't you know, on MTV. LaQuisha reviews that for us next hour like she does. Also, it's Friday. That means the Movie Beat. And Mr. Skin, the world's greatest human, joins us later on today's Kevin and Bean Show. The second world's greatest human, Petros Papadakis, in our studio right now. So now that the NFL lockout is over, you said the NBA guys look like the biggest dicks in the world. What's going on with that?
That's never going to end. I mean, might be two seasons.
What?
Oh, yeah. The NBA lockout is going to be really bad.
So the Mavericks are the world champions for life.
Forever.
Basically.
Forever. And everybody's going to be playing overseas. Kobe's going to be in China making money, acting cool. All these Euro guys will go back to Europe. Nowitzki's going to make a decision on whether or not he's going to go play in Germany. They're all going to spread across the world speaking different languages.
Now,
like
let me
Tower
ask you this about
battle.
That, Pete. Is that good or bad for the NBA coming back that these players all have this other option to go out and play?
Well, the commissioner of the NBA, David Stern, is a guy who promoted for years and years a global game, and he wanted the game to become global, and that's like his biggest achievement. And now it might come back to bite him in the ass, but this is going to be a long time. The owners don't want to budge. I see both sides. The owners don't want to budge because these players make way too much money. I mean, Luke Walton is like worth $30 million. And I like Luke, but I mean, come on. And the owners, they just can't afford it anymore. And the players say they cook the books, and maybe they're right. And I do agree, though, that if there's not going to be NBA, if there's going to be a lockout, these guys should do whatever they want. Like, I don't care about Kobe's responsibility to the Lakers. Go make money. Go play. You can only play as long as your legs will stay under you. So go ahead and make money. Go do a barnstorming tour and make money and play. I don't begrudge anybody that. But it's ugly, guys.
Hey, Pete, this is ugly because in contrast to the NFL where everybody makes money.
Well, it's different. I mean,
most of the teams in the NBA don't, right?
Well, it's the players all make money in the NBA.
Right.
In the NFL, they really don't. But the NFL, guys are faceless. I mean, there's only about six guys on every NFL team that are getting rich. And the rest are just trying to get the next game check. And obviously, football is so much more volatile than the NBA. I mean, in football, that's it. It doesn't matter if you're Tom Brady or Randy Moss or whoever. That's it. If your leg breaks or your head falls off or something, your career's over, and you're just never going to be the same again. And that's something that happened to me back in the year 1999. And it happens to a lot of guys, and I'm not unique. So you can't pay somebody guaranteed contracts when their head might just fall off and you owe them money for the next 10 years. It just doesn't work like that. They can do that in baseball. They can do that in the NBA. But they can't do that in football. So the players have a stronger negotiation base than they do in the world of football and the NBA.
Okay, but when you say the owners don't want to budge because they think the players are making too much money,
right?
At a few months in, when the owners aren't making any money, don't you think that attitude will change?
Well, look, you have to say who's going to break sooner? Who's the more responsible person? Billionaire businessmen or millionaire NBA players with diamond teeth? I'm gonna go with the businessmen on this one. Just same with the NFL. The owners have all the leverage because they own the teams. So, and they're smart. They got to that point in a pretty good way, and the commissioner works for them. So you always have to side with the owners on these things as far as who's got the most leverage.
Are you predicting there will be absolutely, in all probability, no NBA season at all this year?
It's most likely, yeah.
Oh,
it's not just that. Me. I mean, it's not me
That's
saying
rough.
It's everything I'm reading and hearing. I'm
Dude,
not an
that
ad.
Is rough.
I'm just a stupid sports analyst and a reggae music aficionado. I don't know anything.
No,
it's just the stuff I read and know and hear about. That's
but I would think nobody wants that. Eventually, there's going to be an NBA. So if it can be settled one day, why not be settled sooner rather than later? That's the attitude that I don't understand.
Well, it has to get to the point where people are desperate enough to go make a deal, and we're not even scratching that right now. I mean, right. We're not even close to that.
But
how players... much are we really going to miss the NBA? I mean, when are you going to start missing the NBA? January? When football's over?
No.
Be like, where's that NBA? Remember that? Remember those real long guys used to fly around?
I'm
going to
miss it Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving and Christmas, I'm really going to miss it.
Okay. Well, I won't.
So that'll be here before you know it. All right.
Well, you know what? Wait a minute. I do make some money on the Clippers. I work for the Clippers. Let's get that NBA going. See Blake Griffin and his Cyclops eye out there.
Petros Papadakis in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show from the PMS Show, of course, on Fox Sports all across the country. You were unavailable to us on Monday. We tried very hard to call you,
Pete. Yeah, and I'm desperately sorry about that.
You wouldn't answer any of your phones, your pages, your tweets, nothing.
It was a problem, and I'm really sorry.
But I understood, and that's fine. You have a private life, but I was worried about them finding you swinging from a rope after the finale of The Bachelorette. My fear was
Close.
That somehow you were so upset with it that you didn't want to go on anymore.
I couldn't take it. Seriously, in all honesty, I couldn't take
it. Killed you, right?
I had to bang out like 40 clap push-ups after the
wow.
finale on
that
Monday.
Is rough.
It was awful. I mean,
why
I had to do
were you
something.
So in love with Ben over JP?
I wasn't in love with anybody. I hated this Bachelor. This was the worst Bachelorette of all time. Okay, let's go over her attributes.
Oh, you mean she specifically?
Ashley from Maine, that piece of trash from the border between Canada and the United States.
She's practically a foreigner.
She ain't got no lips. She ain't got no okay. lips. First of all, who wants to kiss a coin slot? That's what it would be like. go make out with an ATM. That's what making out with her is like, I'm sure. She ain't got no boobs. She ain't got no boobs.
All right.
Okay. Some people say she had a nice pooper, but whatever, man. And then she had that terrible, shrill, awful, just like Satan was speaking through the grave. Yeah, I love you. And she was cliche ridden and terrible and insecure and not sexy and
so you didn't
bad.
Want anybody to end up with her. You wanted her to go home alone.
I wanted her to suffer
wow.
and cry. And she did some crying, but not enough. As far as I'm concerned, and I hate her. And I hate all the Bachelorettes. I mean, I hate them all. But this one, oh, she was bad.
But you don't hate the Bachelors? Just the Bachelorettes?
Oh, they suck, too.
Oh, all right.
Oh, the Bachelors are even worse.
Pete, why do you keep watching every single incarnation of these shows?
It's a good question.
You know, this one I hated so much that I almost could no longer watch.
Wow. Right, but why didn't you just make that decision to not watch?
You know, I feel obligated.
It's too hard.
Talk about it on the radio. I talk about it with you guys. My wife watches it. So,
hey, listen, don't feel like you have to watch it so you can talk about it with us.
I feel an obligation.
I'm just saying, don't feel that.
You know, I mean, you see somebody in a car and it's on fire. Do you drag that person out or do you just walk away?
I'm
you know,
guessing it's not the same thing.
To the people of the city
okay.
to watch uh-huh. this and warn them. You know, and this guy, Chris Harrison.
Learn
to read a prompter, Harrison. You suck on the after the final rose show.
Listen to
suck
Pete.
Ass.
He's genuinely upset by this.
Learn to read a prompter, Harrison. And you know what? The most emotional Bachelorette ever. You say that every season. And this girl was mad at the dude. First of all, how do you let a guy get down on a knee to reject him? I mean, if a guy's going down on a knee, you want to, you know, maybe grab him under his armpits and just pull him
and
back
don't
up.
Hear everything
yeah.
he's got to
don't,
say.
Don't
first.
Hear everything he's got to say, and then give it 5 seconds before you gently grab his hand and pull him back up yeah. and reject him. And so the guy, of course, gets mad because he just got humiliated, and he's an idiot anyway for going on The Bachelorette and falling right. in love and falling in love with a girl who looks like her body looks like a toothpick put through some chewed gum. Pig
I don't even
animal
understand
from northern
that
Maine.
Reference.
The point is this.
Chew
some gum and then stick a toothpick through that gum okay. so it looks all like right. flesh, and all that's right. her. So anyway, the point is this. He gets all mad, and she's like, well, he was a little angry, and I just don't understand. It's like, wait. Don't you remember when you got booted last year by that other idiot, Brad, and you were like the angriest, meanest, you know, screw-faced, bitch. Oh, I'm sorry.
Wow. You are very angry.
Really don't like her. I really didn't like her.
I didn't get that message at all.
Let me just say this. I strongly dislike this year's Bachelorette.
Okay.
Oh, I think we
strong dislike for her. Does Ralph agree?
Yes.
Was Ralph with me on this Bachelorette?
I don't know. He started yelling about it and we weren't listening.
Oh, okay.
We tuned out. I'm sorry.
Well, thanks for calling about that.
Petras Papadakis on the PMS show airs everywhere all the time, always.
I was told there would be truck balls. Where are my truck balls?
We're out of time for truck balls. We'll have to save them for next time.
Sorry.
With veiny
you can
ones?
Go to PetrasAndMoney.com for the website and follow them at Petras and Money. You
Chrome?
Are the very best, man. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Chrome truck balls.
Yeah. Right.
And then it goes like that for a while. It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:43.
The latest song from Incubus coming up next on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also some Green Day, Foster the People, and P.O.D. P.O.D.?
P.O.D.
Mm. Coming up. Mm. Hey, Ralph, I'm glad you're in here. Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
No, can't do it. There's a rule. Everyone, at least one of you has to be in the studio in order to do this.
That's
because
not a rule.
Who's going to spin the wheel? Who's going to spin the wheel? If Kevin's in Chicago,
Mug's got
you're
it.
In Seattle. No.
Muggs has no problem.
It's his
I
Sabbath.
I can do it, Ralph.
It's his Sabbath.
It's not his Sabbath.
He can't work. He can't work on the Sabbath. It's the law.
But
it's
I'm here.
The Jewish law.
I'm here. I can
shut up.
He's barely Jewish.
After sunset.
He's barely
so
here.
Here's the deal. We see all these stories in the news that come about from time to time that involve animals, and we always think, hey, wouldn't it be fun to talk to that animal? So that's why we created the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices. What are the stories that we might land on today, Kevin?
We have the slutty horses with herpes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't wait to talk to them.
Yeah,
we have the heavy metal Aussie great white sharks.
Mm-hmm.
We have the two-headed snake at odds with itself, Ralph.
Odds with itself.
We have the world's woolliest sheep in heaven. We have Kittler, the dog that looks like Hitler.
Oh, I want to talk to Kittler.
We have the Australian stoned wallabies. We have Cookie, the ticklish penguin. We have...
All right, good. All right, that's good. The sound from the back of Bean's van, by the way. That's not a penguin.
That's his ringtone, too, by the way.
That's outside the kindergarten.
We have the rabid Philly beavers. We have the prehistoric mega wombat.
There are no
we have
beavers
the Finnish
in Philly,
Hitler mocking dog. Don't interrupt.
There. I grew up there was no beavers ever in not Philadelphia.
And we have the death-defying ninja squirrel.
Oh, so that sounds like a good one, too.
All of those are on the wheel. Here we go.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't care.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and Bean don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right, let's spin the wheel.
Oh, wait.
That was weak.
That sounded weak. That sounded like a weak spin.
You want to show that one more time?
Why don't you let a man do it? Lisa, get in there and show Beer Mug how to spin a goddamn wheel.
Calling Lisa a man.
Come on, do it again.
Okay, here we go. One more time.
All right, come on.
There you go.
Yeah. That's a little better. Yeah. Put some effort into it. We're
put
doing a radio show, bud.
Into it.
I posted it.
It lands on the Australian stoned wombat.
How would you know? How would you know where it lands? You're in Chicago. How would you know where it lands?
Or wallaby. Either one.
I wondered about that, actually.
Kevin.
All right, Ralph, you get out. We don't need your negative vibes.
I'm going to stick
around. No, you get out.
I want to hear the phone call.
You don't deserve to hear the punchline.
No, I want to stick around and hear the
you
phone call.
You don't deserve it.
No,
we don't want you here.
No, last time it was fun. I enjoyed being part of it.
Ralph, we really need you to
please go.
No,
we're begging you to please go.
You guys rave about these phone calls. I want to hear about
them. We need you in the room, Ralph. Seriously.
All right, I'm leaving then.
All right, good.
All right. Be that way.
You remember those crop circles that everybody was talking about a while back? And they were talking about, was it aliens? Did aliens make the crop circles?
For 50 years or something, these crop circles have just confounded people because they don't look like something that could have been made on the ground. So people are suspecting, yeah, these are aliens doing them, or somehow these are ships landing in farmers' cornfields or something. How do they become created?
Then they started saying maybe it was pranksters that did it. Well, it turns out that Australia, you may not know this, grows 50% of the world's legal opium.
I did not know that.
50%. And the wallabies take part.
Oh, I see. So they get high on the drugs that are being grown, the opium that's being grown in the fields. I see.
And then they hop around in a circle, according to this story, creating crop circles.
That's fantastic.
Who knew it wasn't aliens, it wasn't pranksters, it was high wallabies?
That is a shocking story. So we asked producer Alex if she could line somebody up. I don't know when we asked for that because we just landed on it about 45 seconds ago. But apparently we have somebody from Australia. Maybe this is one of the farmers who owns the field down under. Hello, Kevin and Bean Show here. Who's this?
Hello. Long. Sweet.
Oi.
Yeah. Yes. Hello, this is the Kevin and Bean Show. Is this a farmer?
No, this isn't a farmer. This is a wallaby.
Oh, we're talking to a wallaby. What are the chances?
What are the chances?
About 100%, I guess. So what's going on? Did you hear the story we were just talking about with you and your mates making crop circles?
No, I did not. I don't own a radio.
Oh, okay. Sure. That makes sense. You own a phone.
In fact, you are from a radio station.
We are from a radio.
Not yet identified yourself.
That is an odd guess, but yes, we are from the radio.
Yeah.
Now, apparently you and your kind keep getting high, and it sounds like that's true.
I'm sorry, what?
Why, when you get high, do you jump around in circles? What's that story?
It's an old wallaby fact
that
although we are just stupid marsupials, mm-hmm, and cannot form perfect geometric shapes while sober,
right,
when we get stoned, we do in fact move in perfect geometric circles and lines.
Wow, that's weird.
That's odd, yeah.
Not weird, but impossible.
But
so the basis of your story is in fact very flawed.
So what you're suggesting is this Australian official who talked to the BBC...
He's the one smoking the opium.
I see.
He had no idea what he was talking about.
Crikey.
Oi. Do you have anything...
Wallaby.
Do you have anything...
Boomerang.
Do you have anything to do with the crop circles?
Nope.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Not a bit.
Nope.
Are you high right now?
Steve Irwin.
What?
You're just naming
Shrimps
things from Australia.
Barbies, Qantas.
All right.
Sydney Opera House.
Okay.
Great white shark.
You're no better than the last guy.
All right. We'll see you later, Mr. Wallaby. Thank you.
Thank you.
LaQuisha reviews last night's Italian Jersey Shore. Coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show next hour. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on, Argar?
Well, they've just announced today that the producers for next year's 84th Annual Academy Awards will be Brett Ratner and Don Mischer. Brett Ratner, the man who gave you Rush Hour and X-Men's Last Stand and Red Dragon... Oh.
That doesn't sound like a good...
It's going to be great. We're going to finally have explosions during the Academy Awards the way we want.
All right.
Stuff blowing up and stuntmen flying around, gunshots. It'll be the most entertaining yet least literate Academy Awards ever. So we got that going for us.
You know, I was thinking about this the other night when our friend Jon Favreau directed the Jimmy Kimmel Show. When guys like him do stuff, and J.J. Abrams is another name that comes to mind, they always seem to put a twist on it and make it fun.
Yes.
What about somebody like that doing the Oscars?
No, that might be, you might tread into dangerous entertaining waters there.
Well, that's we don't want that.
We don't want that. So Brett Ratner, what an odd choice. Guy who really is just known for shoot 'em ups and action films. Producing an award show.
Yeah, weird.
The good news is, when Oprah gets her humanitarian award, it might blow up in her hands. Mm-hmm. That'd be cool.
Be the best.
Oh, it'd be great if her arms were blown off. Imagine how much weight she'd lose not being able to stuff her face.
I hope one of those girls on stage that directs the actors which way to go when they win their awards is they have a strapped a suicide bomb to her. Would that be the best?
That'd be the best.
I'm so fat.
While we're talking about films,
Total Recall is being remade. I mentioned this after Comic-Con because I was down there for the panel where we showed some early footage and hung out with the cast of Total Recall, which includes, by the way, Jessica Biel and Kate Beckinsale.
Sweet.
Colin Farrell will play the lead, formerly played, of course, by Arnold Schwarzenegger. And director Len Wiseman talked about a few key characters that will not be left out of the revamped film. He said he's already decided that the three-breasted hooker from the original Total Recall is essential to keep in the story. So we've got the hooker with
Bye-bye!
Woo!
That
was good my news. Favorite part of that film. Hey, wouldn't have a good time? Bow, bow, bow. That was a shock when I was a young lad, seeing three breasts on a woman.
I'm sure.
It was.
Although two breasts would have been a shock also at that age.
That's true. another Ice Age film is in the works. 20th Century Fox has announced the fourth animated Ice Age film. We'll bring back Ray Romano as the woolly mammoth.
Oh, I have to have even more money. Oh, what are we going to do with it all?
Now, I've never seen any of these movies, of course, because
no.
I hate cartoons.
Oh,
but,
why don't you see my films? Bean.
They're enormously popular, but is there the passion for the Ice Age movies like there is for some of the Pixar franchises
and
whatnot?
No, but it does make a lot of money. So they will, I'm sure, release it during an off period of the year where they aren't competing with other big Pixar animated films, and they'll do quite well, I'm sure.
Sure.
Look, it's a bunch of people in a room for a week reading a script, and then they just slap some cartoons on it.
That's a good paycheck right there.
It sure is. Queen Latifah's coming back as Manny's girlfriend, Ellie the Mammoth. Talk about your typecasting. Dennis Leary returns as the saber-toothed tiger. John Leguizamo as the sloth. And Wanda Sykes is being added to the cast. This just keeps getting better.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Jennifer Lopez will play another saber-toothed tiger, a female saber-toothed tiger, who is freshly divorced and looking for fresh meat. Jessica Alba has told her husband, Cash Warren, what she wants as a push present. For those of you who aren't familiar with the push present, that's what a man is supposed to give a woman after she pushes a baby out of her loins. She has told Cash that she wants a $54,000 gold watch made by a designer named Frank Mueller. It's encrusted with diamonds, and she thinks that's what she's earned after giving birth to their second child. So the request is in.
That's kind of a shame that the baby isn't enough of a win for her in that situation.
They should dip the baby in gold and encrust the baby in diamonds. That would be the perfect gift to give to Jessica.
Babies come out of the butt, right?
Yes.
Because I would think as a new mom, she would have that baby and she would go, I don't need anything else. This is all I wanted is this baby.
Get that slimy thing out of the way. Where's my watch? That's what right. She's going to say in the delivery room. And George Clooney's got a new girlfriend, if you believe Life and Style magazine.
Oh, I bet she's ugly.
She is a pig. Oh, wait a minute. No, it's Stacey Keibler. Remember her from Dancing with the Stars in the WWE? She was a diva on the wrestling.
She is a perfect woman, right?
She's remarkable.
Stacey Keibler, we've had her in. She's so pretty and so nice.
Pretty, charming,
funny.
Got legs for days. They were set up by a mutual friend, apparently. That's got to be a tough sell. Hey, you want to meet George Clooney? Would you like to go out with him?
Oh, no. Who? Oh, no. Can I see a picture?
And,
another blind date? Come on.
Friends say he's already entertained her at his Italian estate in Lake Como, Italy. So, congratulations.
Lake Como?
Lake Como.
Oh.
God's sakes. Today's celebrity birthday is Neil Armstrong. You may not remember this, but at one time there was a program called NASA here in the United States. And
what did they do?
They used to launch crafts into space.
You're talking about the Russian space program.
No. This was an American deal, where they would take large pieces of machinery and propel it via jets into outer space.
I didn't know we were ever part of that. I thought it was just other kind. Okay.
No, it's happened. And then one of the dudes who was flying around in one of these spacecraft, they would call them, landed on the moon and got out and walked around.
I would have heard about that.
Never heard of that.
He's 81 years old today. Maureen McCormick of the Brady Bunch. She was Marcia on that program, 55 years old today. Now she looks like she ate Alice.
She is not slender.
She is not a small woman, is what I'm saying. Pat Smear is 52. Tawny Kitaen turns 50 years old today. Adam Yauch of the Boys is 47 years old. And Funkmaster Flex. We got to get a little taste of Funkmaster, I think, for later on in the show. I miss FF.
Flex, whatever his nickname is.
He is 43 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Looking ahead toward next week, by the way, we're going to have comedian Eddie Ift in our studio. Director Kevin Smith stops by. We've got The Week in Rage with Adam Carolla, comedian Nick Swardson, Dr. Drew, and Ralph's girlfriend Stana Katic is going to be joining us, too, on Monday. You know how much we love her.
Ralph's girlfriend, like she's not mine.
Well, really? I didn't realize that you had stolen her away. That's awesome.
He hasn't realized it either, so don't bring it up.
That's all Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, the Movie Beat, and LaQuisha later this hour. Right now, though, how about the Kevin and Bean Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. That is our number. You can call 24 hours a day, voicemail, where you leave us a message. Remember that guy that called last week who was very disappointed in our show? All these years later, we still don't have a sports guy in every day, right?
Right, right.
So he determined that he was going to call us every single day, and so far he's been living up to it, just to give us an update on his Angels. And that's not it, but it does go like this.
Morning, Mr. Youngwood here. Angels had the day off.
Okay, so if the point is to try to convince us we need a sports guy, maybe Angels had the day off is not the way to do it.
Yeah, and especially considering that we like other teams as well.
That's all he cares about. Just wants to hear about his Angels on the show. I have no idea what's happening here, but I believe this guy is very, very drunk. See if you can make out what he's saying.
I had one officer, Mr. Budweiser. Yeah, Vegas, baby. Woo!
I heard Budweiser in Vegas.
Right, and then
that's all you need.
Some sort of police siren noise with his mouth. I have no idea. But it is good to know that when you're drunk enough and you can't find any friends to call, the Kevin and Bean Afro Line is always there.
That's true.
All this week, we're giving away tickets to go see Coldplay. I guess they played Wednesday night, that Grammy event. This guy very excited about the return of Coldplay.
Stop it. Just stop with the Coldplay. The Coldplay, knock it off. Knock it off with the Coldplay.
All right, so maybe he's not as jazzed as some people are about that show. We played tape a couple of days ago when we were talking about cat hypnotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the guy we had, the YouTube video of a guy trying to hypnotize a cat?
Go to sleep, China.
So one of the Kevin and Bean listeners thought maybe he would try that too.
Become a lesbian, Lisa.
I wasn't aware that it worked like that, but I hope it does. Oh, wait, he called back again.
Die a slow death.
All right, I hope that works now. Now I'm with you.
Don't try to kill me with hypnotherapy. Come on. Speaking of me, Bean, and the fans I have, you know I drive the ladies crazy, right? You
sure.
know they love me. My raw sexual animal magnetism, they can't get enough of it. And I think it's proved in this Afro call.
Hi, Bean. Hey. I want to talk dirty to you. So clear everyone out and turn up the volume.
I'm ready.
Ready?
Yes.
Vegas, 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 Vegas.
Nice. Sweet.
It skeeves me out whenever I hear somebody call Las Vegas, Vegas, and she knew that. I need to shake it off. One of my favorite Omar jingles, you know, he does these little songs before we play games and features here at the Kevin and Bean Show, was the game that we played to give away Foo Fighters tickets a while ago. It was called Rhymes with Grohl.
Rhymes with Grohl, 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 Grohl.
Yeah! I love that so much, and apparently so did this listener.
Rhymes with Grohl, 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 Grohl. Yeah!
It's so funny, the stuff that gets stuck in your head and there's nothing you can do about it. It's just so random. MTV Awards, they're coming up in about a month or so. We were talking about them. This listener had a correction for us and some actual real concern about what might happen at the show this year.
Hey, guys, I heard you talking about the MTV VMAs this year, how it'll be in L.A. Actually, that's not true. It's been relocated to beautiful Long Beach, California. For the first time ever, the show's going to be telecast from the Queen Mary. You see, Adele is performing, and the organizers thought it would be prudent to have her board a stage that had been through a long history of malice and buoyancy and, frankly, has gone through a war. They didn't want to have a disaster like they had at the Oscars when they had to reinforce the stage 20 times with titanium adamantium to accommodate Gabori Sidibe's hefty carriage. See, this way, if the stage capsizes once Adele is finished, well, everybody would be rolling in the deep.
Oh, man.
Wow.
He's worked up a whole chunk.
He has put some work into that Afro call. Wow.
Sweet.
That is some real concern, though, as Adele takes the stage. Let's get that reinforced. Miss Double December 2011, Christine.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how awesome she is for just a second. Now, all of our Miss Double D's have been great, and we get the credit for that because we pick the girls that go into the competition, and then you decide who the winner is, and you've been remarkable. Great track record. All
but
the Miss
one.
Double D's. Well, she started off good. So the Miss Double D's have been fairly awesome people. But Christine, man, does she enjoy her job. And man, do we enjoy her enjoying her job. And she has done nothing but take pictures this year. I mean, photos all the time. And there's a bunch of new ones up at kevinandbean.com. And I think our listeners are very much enjoying the photo gallery there.
Been checking out Miss Double December. I've been on it for 4 hours just going through her pics. I'm so short.
Oh, well, that's what they're there for. I mean, she's barely keeping that bikini on.
She's going to have to register for Miss F next year, though.
I think you're right. We need to start a new competition, right?
Yes.
And finally, I can't understand why or how this happened, but God bless this guy who decided to call the Kevin and Bean Afro line with this song.
My vagina's so itchy, so, so itchy. So freaking itchy. My vagina's so itchy. So, so itchy.
What do you think is going on here with his vagina being itchy and whatnot?
I just think it's itchy. That's it.
It's probably self-explanatory.
Yeah.
So freaking itchy. My vagina's so itchy. So, so itchy.
I know what you're yelling at your radio right now. All right, Bean, we've heard the song. We get it. His vagina is itchy. You must be done. Nope.
So freaking itchy. My vagina's so itchy. My vagina's so itchy.
Okay.
So, so itchy.
We got it.
So freaking itchy.
You think you've had enough? What? Yeah. You gotta stop? Because his vagina's really itchy.
My vagina's so itchy. So, so itchy. So freaking itchy.
I never want to stop listening to this song.
My vagina's so itchy. So, so itchy.
And you have to give him credit for the commitment to call up and absolutely just keep going with it, right? All right. Your songs, your comments, your thoughts, your questions, let us know. The Kevin and Bean Afro line is available for you 24-7 at 323-520-AFRO. It's Friday. Ralph's got the movie beat coming up next. Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. That means it's time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Three new movies in Cineplexes this week, and I think you might be interested in. The first one is only in limited release. It is a documentary. And I know usually those can be pretty dry, but this is a pretty fascinating subject matter. Back in 1964, there was an author named Ken Kesey, and he was a little bit too old to be a hippie in the 60s, but a little bit too young to be one of the beatnik generation from the 50s. Anyway, he was he wanted to get really stoned and see America. So he got a bus, and they painted it all kinds of psychedelic colors, and he got together a bunch of other ne'er-do-wells, and they called themselves the Merry Pranksters, and they went out on the road, dropping acid and just looking at America. It was the beginning, really, of the 60s that we know of with the drugs and the hippies and the love-ins and all that kind of stuff. This was pretty much the beginning of all of that. This is a documentary featuring footage that they actually shot during this Cross America road trip, and it's the first time it's been seen since it was filmed. All in color.
Wow.
All in color, which is odd to see stuff that early done in color. Documented with the interviews with the actual participants. This, if you ever heard of a book called The Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test by Tom Wolfe, this was that trip that was documented in that book. It features Timothy Leary, of course, one of the early proponents of acid trips in the 60s, and the Grateful Dead is featured in it. Jack Kerouac, the guy who originated sort of the Beat Generation with the On the Road book that inspired these people. Fascinating piece of American history, and it looks like a very entertaining documentary. Here's some clips from the trailer that we edited together.
My vagina's so itchy. So, so itchy.
I don't want to see that.
So freaking itchy.
Doesn't sound at all like what I thought it would sound like, Ralph.
Here's some clips from the trailer.
In 1964, this man, Ken Kesey, lit the fuse for the explosion of the 60s.
We weren't old enough to be beatniks, and we were a little too old to be hippies. Everybody I knew had read On the Road.
It stirred us up.
So we decided to go travel across the country.
Since it turned out that there were so many of us, we decided we'd buy a bus.
Ken really believed that things could be changed. He saw himself as a kind of liberator.
We are the Merry Band of Pranksters.
Yep. So go get stoned and watch this documentary. I think you'll have a good time. Also in theaters this weekend, Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
There it is.
Damn you all to hell. You finally did it. You blew it all up. Ah. I wish Charlton Heston was in this, but instead it's James Franco, Frida Pinto, John Lithgow, other people whose names end in the O sound. Rupert Wyatt is the director. It's about a scientist, played by James Franco, who's looking for a cure for Alzheimer's because his father, played by Lithgow, is suffering from it. So he experiments on a chimpanzee named Caesar, and what happens is Caesar starts to develop super human intelligence, or super chimp intelligence, if you will, and starts to plan the takeover of our planet with his simian friends. Fact or fiction? You be the judge. But it's fiction. I'll fill in the rest. Anyway, it looks... Here's the thing. The original is such an iconic film. Tim Burton tried to remake it. Failed miserably. This one looks like a better attempt, yet still, I don't know if it'll have the impact that the first film had.
But however, the chimps sure look amazing, don't
the
they?
The special effects, the CGI chimps, looks like the best video game you've ever played, which is the only compliment, really, I could give really good CGI. James Franco, a little bit of a stretch as a genius scientist working on a Alzheimer drug. I mean, I can see him working on drugs, just not Alzheimer drugs in a laboratory. Here's some clips from the trailer of that film, edited together if Bean doesn't play the vagina song.
Meet Chimp 9. We gave him a gene therapy that allows the brain to create its own cells in order to repair itself. We call it the cure to Alzheimer's. Caesar continues to show cognitive skills that far exceed that of a human counterpart.
Is that a chimpanzee?
You okay, pal? No, you're not a pet.
Stupid monkey. He'll learn his boss soon enough.
It's a madhouse!
Ralph, do you think part
Get
of the reason...
Get your paws off me, you damn stinking apes!
We do miss Chuck Austin. Now, we keep going back because, you know, like with everything else in Hollywood, it's already got a name that a lot of people are familiar with. I get that. But do you think part of it is the fascination that we still, as humans, have with chimps because they're so close to us?
Because yes. it's going to happen.
Yes, because Kevin's convinced it's actually happening.
That's correct.
Yeah. Also opening up this weekend, The Change-Up. Ryan Reynolds, Jason Bateman. After a night of drinking, two best friends, Mitch and Dave, end up magically switching bodies. Next thing you know, Jason Bateman is living the life of the single womanizing Ryan Reynolds, and Ryan Reynolds is living the life of Jason Bateman, who's got two kids and a wife at home. Chaos ensues, and everybody learns a very important lesson about life and love. Here is a scene where Dave, played by Ryan Reynolds, freaks out about a meeting he's supposed to have.
It's the biggest meeting of my life in 45 minutes. This isn't happening.
Did you have something you wanted to do today?
I got day one of my big break movie.
You don't understand. If I don't make this meeting, I don't make part of it. I don't make part of the last 15 years of my life. Everything I've done, wasted.
All right, you know what? Fine, I'll do it.
Do what?
I'm an actor, human chameleon. I can do lawyer, man. Sleep. Give me the keys.
Oh, you'll play me in one of your productions.
Yeah. Give me
the keys. No.
Why?
Because you're...
Careful.
Because there's more to being a lawyer than what you see on TV, Mitch.
Is there?
Yeah.
I object!
Oh, my God.
Okay.
No!
See, he can't just be a lawyer just because he's an actor.
I love Jason Bateman so much. How is Ryan Reynolds in comedy, Ralph?
I think that's his strongest suit, actually.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. I did, too.
Started off as a sitcom actor on Two Guys, a Girl, and a Cup.
I don't think that's it.
You're thinking something else.
Yeah,
I don't think that's it. That was the name of the sitcom he was on. I remember that distinctly.
It was pizza. It wasn't a cup. That's a totally different video. Oh.
Anyway, it looks entertaining. You can go there and have a good time in the movies. It's a good summertime comedy. I think you'll enjoy yourself. Those are my picks for the movies opening this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I have a very important question to ask him about all these BS actresses with body doubles in movies lately. Come on, Mila Kunis. If you're going to take it off, take it off. So we'll talk about that coming up. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. First, though, how about our old friend, LaQuisha? She joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's been a while, LaQuisha. How are you, my dear?
Shut up, Bean.
All I said was, hello. I'm excited to talk to you, LaQuisha.
Your damn fault. I'm watching this Jersey Shore again.
You love dumb white people.
I do, but now I'm just concerned there's going to be some sort of international incident.
Yeah. Oh, no, because they're in Italy this season, right?
That's right. What if all Italy thinks this represents Americans in general?
Well, that's
next
a huge
thing you know,
concern.
They're dropping their spaghetti bombs on us or whatever they do.
That's what they do.
That. We don't want that.
Well, this episode of the Jersey Shore was the first one in Florence, Italy, where they're all living, you know, because most of them have Italian background, so they're going back to the old country. And I tell you, this episode for the first one was just filled with disappointments for me. Because, for example, Snooki has a hard time identifying exactly where she's going.
You know, Italy's like that big country. No, Europe is that big country. And then you have, like, Britain in there and England and Italy.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
She's right.
Now, when I see that, I'm thinking, oh, good, she's not going to be able to find her way to Italy. So I won't have to be subjected to her. But no, I was disappointed that she actually ends up going there.
Oh, you know, it has been a long summer, and I had forgotten just how stupid Snooki was until you played that clip.
Situation, he's looking forward to going to Italy as well, because he thinks it just means more ladies for him.
Lock up your daughters, handcuff your wives. The situation's taking over the Italian nation.
Oh, wow, that's hot.
The difference between an Italian girl and a Jersey girl is European girls are more free-spirited, and I'm excited to find out.
But European girls are also more discriminating, so you're in big trouble.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not going to just go lay down because you're on American television because they ain't never seen you on television. Stupid situation. Who, by the way, is now calling himself the Situationone. Situationone.
Oh, good.
What is he trying to Italianize it up?
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, man.
You remember Dina? Dina from the last year's show?
Sure. Uh-huh.
She was Snooki's friend who lived with them at the shore house for a while.
Right.
And she's back. And I think of all of them, she is the one most likely to start an international incident.
Italy, get ready, because here we come. Blast in the glass, bitches.
Oh, sweet Jesus, Lord in heaven.
Wow, yeah.
Oh, I did not miss that voice at all. Well, Snooki, we almost got lucky. We almost got lucky because there was a layover on the way to Italy from New Jersey. And I thought, well, this is the chance. She's going to be so stupid she'll get lost someplace and not get back on the plane. So maybe we'll be spared. But no, during the layover, she figured out where she was, more or less.
We're traveling to Italy, and then we land. We realize we're in Germany, like Dusseldorf. We have like a two-hour layover. So Dusseldorf, you know, it's funny.
Yeah.
What?
Dusseldorf is funny.
Right.
However, Dusseldorf, where you landed, not funny at all.
Not as funny.
I did get my hopes up, though. I thought, oh, good, they're in Germany. Maybe the Germans will show up and put them in some sort of special camp. And then take them to get a shower. Like they do.
I'm not sure they do continuously.
They do that in Germany.
I don't think anymore.
I've seen the damn movies. I know what they do.
All right, but they don't
do
it anymore.
They take the undesirables in society and they separate them into some sort of camp.
They used to do that.
That was special circumstances, LaQuisha. That's not how it works anymore.
What could be more special than having the Jersey Shore cast right there in your clutches and then let them go through your fingers?
It does seem like a waste of a good opportunity. You're right.
Shut up, Germany. You had your chance and you blew it. When they get to the place where they're staying there in Italy, they're very excited because they got all kinds of accoutrements there. They got all kinds of things that they like. The jacuzzis inside the house and all the things that they like. And Vinny is especially pleased because his bathroom is all kinds of contraption in there.
Yo, we got the thing that cleans your ass. We have a bidet. So a bidet is very European. It's a way of cleaning your after you go to the bathroom.
We're good.
It feels kind of good, too, you know, on a lonely night, you know?
Oh.
No.
I don't like where he's indicating that's going.
We're not going to get that boy off the bidet this season, I don't think. He's going to look like a fountain and trivy when there's water coming out of all kinds of holes in that boy at some point.
No.
They have an outdoor patio area in their new home in Florence, Italy, too. And there's some new creatures that they're not used to, like the pigeons of Italy apparently are very aggressive. And that freaks out some of the girlfriends.
These pigeons are ruthless in Italy. They will attack you and they will bite your ears off. I feel like they just don't like you and they just want to eat your food.
Who flies that close?
The pigeons had an opportunity too to scratch their eyes out. Didn't take it.
Wow.
I'm so disappointed in this episode. But nothing disappointed me more than finding out in between the two seasons, during the off seasons of Jersey Shore, what Mike, the situation, what he was up to in between the two episodes, the two seasons we've been seeing.
Right.
Me and Snooki, we kind of hooked up like two, three months ago.
Like, what the f*** is going on?
Who admits that to somebody?
Who does it, first of all? And then who
Look, I can't blame a compass for pointing north. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
sometimes a man has no control over his own genitalia and makes a horrible mistake.
She does if she's north.
But you don't what?
You heard me. You said you can't blame a man for pointing north. I'm saying if she's there, you don't point there. It's Snooki. Snooki's ugly is what I'm saying.
I think Kevin is saying no matter how desperate and horny and drunk you are, there has to be some baseline, some standard.
Thank you. Let's say you make a mistake and you do that.
Okay.
You don't tell anybody after the fact.
That's
announce it to your roommate, Ronnie, like that. And it turns out that Mike says he's got feelings for Snooki now and he wants to rekindle what they have in Italy. Even though Snooki has a boyfriend. Already the drama starts with the people now. And Vinny recognizes that Paulie and Dina are looking at each other all kinds of hormonally.
Oh, no.
My game plan is flirt with Paulie. And, you know, like, if it goes somewhere else, it goes somewhere else.
Dina definitely has a crush on Paulie.
No!
What's happening? Giant petri dish of STDs, isn't it, LaQuisha?
We finally got Sammy and Ronnie broken up, so they're not even going through that drama anymore. Now we're going to have other people in the group start hooking up with each other with the fighting and whatnot.
Oh, no, it's going to be a long season, huh?
Oh, I'm damn near exhausted already. Ain't even one episode. I hate you white boys.
Oh, you love it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, then.
Mr. Skin, after the top of the hour, then the former heavyweight champion of the world, Mike Tyson, will join us.
That's
He's on the TV this weekend.
That's right. We'll will be on your radios, and I will bite your ears, cutting your ears from the radio.
This is actually the real Mike Tyson. Ralph is going to be joining us next.
Yes, I am the real Mike Tyson. Thank you for
coming up on the Kevin DeVito Show. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Now, what's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I've got passes to give away to the red carpet world premiere of 30 Minutes or Less, film starring Jesse Eisenberg, Aziz Ansari, Danny McBride, Nick Swords, and just the funniest batch of fellas to work together in a long, long time. Brought to you by the director of Zombieland, Ruben Fleischer. It's going to be a blast. You'll see it with all the celebrities, all the stars. You get to walk the red carpet. It's a pretty cool event. It happens next Monday. If you'd like to go, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First three callers to get through, pair of passes for each of you. And don't feel bad if you don't win because it's in theaters everywhere next Friday. So you get to check that out as well. Tomorrow night, 10 o'clock p.m., Kevin Smith and I will be doing our Hollywood Babylon show. If you like the Showbiz Beat, you will enjoy what we do. It's just like this, only it's longer and it's drunker and it's filthier. So you can check that out, BabylonRalph.com for details and buy tickets. You can check us out there. Well, we'll certainly be talking about this, gentlemen. This story just keeps getting better for me. Hello, I'm Chris Hansen, and I can't keep my penis in my pants.
What's happening?
Chris Hansen busted for cheating a second time with a different woman this time.
That's strong.
Here's the thing. We already heard the story about how he was followed via hidden video camera, and they captured him having an affair with a Florida news reporter. It was released, I guess the National Enquirer broke the story. We haven't heard really Chris talk much about that affair. He's sort of gone underground since that happened, and everyone read the story, including his other mistress.
Ew.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Who is a stripper in Vegas named Kathleen Collins. Well, I apologize. She's an aspiring country music star named Kathleen Collins who happens to strip in Las Vegas.
So when the story broke, Chris Hansen had this thought. Oh, my God. What am I going to tell my wife? Oh, my God. What am I going to tell one or more other mistresses?
Yeah. Kathleen claims that she thought she was the only woman in his life. Well, not really. I mean, other than the wife, I guess.
The wife?
Yeah. They met in Vegas in early 2011, the story goes, and Kathleen was floored when she discovered that Chris had been carrying on an extra marital affair with another woman. That, of course, Kristen Cadell, the 30-year-old news reporter in West Palm Beach. I know this sounds crazy, one friend says, but Kathleen really thought she was the only one. That's magical.
But I can't control my horny level.
No, you can't, Chris.
That's very true.
Oh, if you see the pictures, it's definitely a move up from the reporter, by the way.
Is it a step up?
The stripper's, she's hot. She's way hot. So, got that going for you. He's ruined. He's ruined. The guy who always played the moral imperative card, the guy who was always above everyone else, looking down his nose with a little clipboard, shaking his finger, wagging his finger at all the moral ne'er-do-wells. Now he's ruined. He can't do
it. Yeah, he did that too much for me. Like, that almost...
He was a dick.
Yeah, he was a total dick about it.
He made me feel sorry for pedophiles. That's how much of a smarmy asshole he was.
Which is really something.
Like, oh, these poor guys got to listen to this guy just browbeat them. I feel so bad. But I how much, that was me. If I saw him come out the door, I'd just run right into the arms of the tasers outside. I would just right to the chase. I would not give him a chance to sneer at me and be all smarmy and look down at me like I'm some piece of human flotsam. No, sir, I say.
How awesome would it be if TMZ was able to catch up with Chris Hansen with a camera and say, so, well, you got on a plane and flew to Las Vegas to hook up with your mistress. What were you thinking?
I was there on business. Really? Because we've got some footage of you going into the strip club there. There you are making out. You're free to go. Your wife's outside. She wants to have a conversation with you. You're free to go.
That would be so awesome.
I'm cute, though. Built good.
Yeah. You right wish. You wish you were. And while we're talking about positive messages, MTV has announced they are giving away a new award at the Video Music Awards this year. New category has been added, Best Video with a Message.
Nobody cares.
That's what we look to MTV for, our messages. The nominees all have a positive message in their video or have some sort of social awareness component, MTV says. The nominees in that category are Pink for Effing Perfect, Lady Gaga for Born This Way, Katy Perry for Firework, Eminem and Rihanna for Love the Way You Lie, Rise Against for Make It Stop, and Taylor Swift for Mean.
Boring!
VMAs are handed out this year here in Los Angeles at the Nokia Theater on August the 28th and will be aired live on MTV, so you can see who wins Best Video with a Message.
Boring!
Today's celebrity birthdays. Funkmaster Flex! He's 43 years old today. Do we have any Flex? Did we get to send any Flex? Oh, never mind.
That means yes, but he can't find it.
Adam Yauch is 47 years old today. Tony Katane turns 50. Pat
Smear. Remember how awesome she was when she was in on our show one time, Ralph?
Yes, she was adorable. Katane. Could not be more charming.
And still looks great, too.
Yeah. Pat Smear is 52 years old. Maureen McCormick from the Brady Bunch is 55 years old. And Neil Armstrong, he walked on the moon in some junk.
He did.
He's 81. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Who's the best man in the world? It's Mr. Skin.
Mr. Skin. Mr. Skin. MrSkin.com.
MrSkin.com, as you know, is a website where millions of people every month go to see the very best of nudity in movies and television shows. And Mr. Skin has been training for this job his entire life, and he's the best in the world at it. Mr. Skin, welcome back to the Kevin DeBean Show, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, great. Doing great. How's everyone doing?
Very good. Thank you.
By the way, your little friend Kevin is in Chicago right now, a few blocks away from where you are right now, Mr. Skin.
Really? Where?
We're going to Lollapalooza today.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's coming to Chicago for Lollapalooza.
Tomorrow
and
Sunday,
Huge crowd. Huge crowd.
Yes, sir.
So, anyway, the reason we contacted you, Mr. Skin, and thank you so much for carving out some busy time in your schedule, is I started to get a little depressed. Day after day, Ralph will come in and he'll do his showbiz stories and he'll talk about the various hottie actresses. And lately, there's been a disturbing trend that I wanted to talk to you about. Now, I know body doubles have been around as long as actresses have been making movies. What's going on with your parrot, Skin?
Yeah, do you need us to call the authorities?
That's the decency police that are coming after me. Just an ambulance outside my window, I guess.
Okay. So he did a story about Olivia Wilde, who I guess didn't want to show her nipples in this Cowboys and Aliens movie or some upcoming movie or something like that, and they swapped it up. The change-up, right. Yeah. And then he did another story about the ass double for Mila Kunis for her film with Justin Timberlake. What the hell is going on, and what are your thoughts?
We're calling it here at the Skin offices the day the nudezik died, because this is very sad. The Mila Kunis and Friends with Benefits, where she used the body double for her butt, is forgivable because at least we're seeing a real butt. What's not forgivable is Olivia Wilde in The Change-Up, who admitted that for her breast exposure in that movie, she had flesh-colored pasties over her breasts, and then in post-production, they edited in nips, meaning that she probably went through and got to pick out the perfect nipples for the scene, and that is really kind of disturbing. If it ever gets to a point where celebrities' nudity is done post-production, yes, that would not be good, and it's kind of a bummer.
Now, you call, by the way, I love your article at MrSkin.com where you talk about the wild thing where I believe you called the nipples hooter hats, which I thought was very was very creative and impressive. Yeah. Hooter hats.
Yeah. Well, also another thing, too, is Leslie Mann is also in this movie. You know, she's Judd Apatow's wife. She was in the movie Knocked Up, and she has a couple of really great topless scenes, and hers also appear to be CGI created. So, yeah, so that's why this change-up movie, you know, here we are. It's an R-rated comedy. You got Ryan Reynolds and Jason Bateman. Ton of nudity. One of my Skin Scouts saw it a week ago and was, you know, couldn't say enough about the great nudity. And then we're finding out here before it opens in theaters today that it was, you know, CGI generated all the good stuff, which is, you know, like I said, something that makes us very sad.
Yeah. Now, and I look at, of course, Mr. Skin is a journalist. Let's all never lose sight of that. And I believe should win the Pulitzer Prize again this year. But you must be dealing with this in your newsroom like the Washington Post would if they get a photograph that they want to run in the paper, but then they find out that it's been manipulated in the studio. It's been altered somehow. Is it still newsworthy? How do you handle, say, the Olivia Wilde thing when that movie is available to you on DVD? What are you going to do with it on the site if they're not her real nipples?
We're going to say that it's CGI or that it's non-nude and, you know, we're kind of thinking that, you know, a day's going to come when actresses are going to be proud to proclaim that was my nude body, not CGI. And
yeah.
We'll definitely at the website, we already have at the page said non-nude for those scenes, but we're going to have to make a new category. We always had body double, but now we're going to have CGI nudity, which, again, isn't the greatest news. But, you know, it's the one good thing is Olivia Wilde has done a nude scene and a great one. It was in a 2006 movie called Alpha Dog, and at the hour and 45-minute mark, you see her nude in bed. So don't worry if you're getting shortchanged at the change-up. She has done great nudity in the past.
And that's weird, too, that she's done it before, and this time it bothered her.
And by the way, looked fantastic. I think people would see this nude scene and just be blown away by how great she looks and think, wow. What computer could do better than what she has herself? So that's
that's spitting in the face of God, right? I mean, God made those perfect nipples. Go ahead and show them, right?
Exactly, and they are perfect. Like I'm saying, we, you know, she's not one of those big-breasted actresses. She's more on the smaller side. But everyone that's seen that nude scene or comments to me about it says, "Oh my God, that's like almost perfect breast."
Yeah, it depends on the body. You don't have to have giant breasts.
Right. Great.
Right. Now, I mean, this really could, I mean, just like Avatar changed what we're going to be seeing in terms of CGI and science fiction movies.
Right.
I mean, I know it sounds like a light and frivolous topic, but I mean, what's the point of, like, you know, Charlize Theron, remember her movie, the Cider House Rules, where she had that beautiful shot of her laying on the bed in her perfect butt. I mean, if that movie were being made today, would Charlize see this Olivia Wilde story and she would say, why should I bother taking off my pants? Just go ahead and do whatever you want with it once I'm laying down.
Well, you're right. It could happen, but I'm hopeful that, you know, the art house movies and the B movies are going to continue, you know, budget wise to, you know, they're not going to have the budgets to do all this high tech, CGI stuff. But you're right. I hope that actresses say, you know what, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. I'm not going to do it, post-production. And, we can only hope, but we'll see. This, all I'm saying is this was a big wake up call in the world of celebrity nudity, the change up opening in theaters today.
That's why I knew Mr. Skin would be right on top of it. So is Olivia Wilde in our final moments here, Mr. Skin? And again, MrSkin.com is the site for less than a buck a day. See all these scenes and thousands more. Is Olivia Wilde a perfect example of what we've talked about before, where an actress is willing to do those movies on the way up, but she does get to a certain point in her career where she goes, now I don't have to, so I'm not?
Oh, well, there's no question that she's a lot bigger star now than she was when Alpha Dog came out. That show House has really, you know, made her a big star. And maybe when she did Alpha Dog, she had a different, you know, she was at a different place in Hollywood. But yeah, it happens all the time. And I've talked to you guys about this great nudity many times happens before an actress was famous. One of the great examples is Linda Carter, the original Wonder Woman. Right before she hit it big as Wonder Woman, she did a drive-in movie called Bobby Joe and the Outlaw in 1976, where she was nude four times in the first 35 minutes, capped off by a skinny-dipping scene with her and a big Indian chief while doing mushrooms. So I don't think she ever knew she was going to be Wonder Woman. And it happens all the time before they were famous nudes. Or when maybe your career's kind of stalled out and you're looking to get some notoriety. But, yeah, you're right. When an actress is really cresting or really doing well, chances are she's probably not going to do a real graphic nude scene.
See, they get uppity, man. That's what happens. What do I tell you about women? They get uppity. All right, before we go, I know you're going to be back on the show in a couple of weeks, and
yes,
we'll have a lot longer time to discuss something that you've got that's big and new at MrSkin.com.
Yeah.
Tell our listeners who want a sneak preview before that interview what's going on.
Yeah, at our website, we just launched yesterday voting for the top 100 nude celebs of all time. And what we're looking for is a combination of star power, celebrity, great nude scenes, and sexiness. Like, Jessica Alba wouldn't make this because she's only done a brief nude scene in The Killer Inside Me. But, you know, stars that are people you would know, they've done great nude scenes, and are super sexy. And we have 100 candidates, and people are voting. We've never had more votes than we did yesterday. We just launched it for anything we've ever done before. So when I come on your show, I'm going to count down the top 10 nude celebs of all time, and it's pretty cool. And what's really neat, if you go to the page to vote for free, we have a video clip of the best nude scene of all 100 actresses. So
wow,
you have to watch 100 nude scenes. You have to watch them.
Oh, I would hate that.
And we're getting guys that actually are logged in for 5 hours before they vote. It's like crazy. So
you're getting guys fired is what you're getting.
Oh, my God. It's like, yeah, for each actress, we have their best nude scene. You can watch a clip of it and then think, should I vote for her? Uh-oh, let me go to the next one. And
sure,
guys are just staying on all day. It's a lot of fun.
I don't remember the first 50. I got to go back.
Got to go back. Right.
But anyway, so when I next time I talk to you, I'll have the we'll count down the top 10 of the 100. It'll be great.
Can't wait. And because we support you, we're gonna personally promise you that we're going to watch all 100 clips just for you, Mr. Skin. All right, go to MrSkin.com to catch up on all the great news in movie and TV nudity. Mr. Skin, we'll see you in a couple weeks. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Not a lot of people left around.
K-Rock is KRQ at 9:43.
Hey, party people. It's Friday. We're near the end. Ralph Garman has one more showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
It's Friday.
Nope.
You got to get down on Friday.
Do you miss that song?
Oh, I miss her. I miss Rebecca Black so much.
Have you caught up with the new smash hit from ARC Productions, Ralph? Have you seen Girl Swag yet?
I have seen Girl Swag.
Girl Swag leaves this reviewer cold.
Really? The 9-year-old pop singer doesn't really float your boat.
Doesn't do it for you
when it comes to being an artiste.
Artistically, she is not a satisfying musical item.
Yeah,
no.
I wonder why. Oh, now I remember. She's 9.
Oh, that's it.
9-year-olds have nothing to effing say. If you're 9 years old, just shut the F up.
Hey, they have life experience,
they
man.
They don't. They have nothing. Oh, they have nothing to offer us. They're 9.
I will tell you that I have a great deal more respect for Willow Smith now that I've seen what other people around her age come up with.
No, she's the part of... She was patient zero. She was the way this all got started. Now that 9-year-olds think they can sing songs that have some merit.
Right. Look, as horrible as I Whip My Hair Back and Forth was, it's so much better than some of the songs that we've seen since then from people of the same age.
No, you're missing the point.
It isn't, though.
That allowed the floodgates to open. That's what allowed 9-year-olds to believe that they could record songs that anyone would want to hear.
She's responsible for all the other bad songs as well.
Yes, she's ground zero.
I'm with you.
The rest is just fallout. She was the bomb. And not in a good way, like, oh, she's the bomb. She was the bomb. This 9-year-old, oh, man. If you're 9, just shut the F up. All you need to do at 9 is be a kid, have fun, and then learn whatever you need to learn so that you don't grow up into being an a-hole when you're an adult. That's your only job at 9.
That's true.
You know the quickest way to make an a-hole adult? Give a 9-year-old a lot of attention and cameras and a song and make them think they're special. Boom. You've just ruined that kid for life.
Yeah,
she's
going
to end up on the pole or making some poor guy's life a living hell.
She's going to say, I still want to be a star.
Or both.
I'm going to marry Doug Hutchinson.
Next thing you know, she's 16 years old, married to a 51-year-old. And the world is poorer for it.
Like they do.
Like they do. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Lea Michele.
Yeah.
From The Glee. Are you excited about The Glee 3D concert movie, too, by the way? Oh, can't wait. They're going to be in 3D, and they're going to be singing and dancing.
I gave up The Glee halfway through the last season, so I don't care what they do now.
I just love that the dude in the wheelchair has to perform in the wheelchair every night on tour. That makes me laugh endlessly. That poor bastard. It's like, going on tour, great. I can finally show my true self. I can dance. Hey, what was that? I got to be in the what? They roll him out every night. Oh, that poor bastard. Anyway, Lea Michele did an interview this week in publicity for the upcoming film. And said she is surprised as anyone that she has made it in show business. She said when she first started out, she had numerous managers and agents who told her she needed a nose job to make it. And simply, even with the nose job, wouldn't be pretty enough to make it in show business.
Ouch.
Ouch, indeed. She proved them wrong, however. Performed on Broadway, recorded music, made movies, now television.
I mean, she's not an unattractive girl, but she didn't make it based on her look. She made it based on the fact that she's a terrific singer and a good actress.
She's not classically attractive.
Right.
No.
But they told her that she couldn't make it on any level,
even
probably,
with that
because
talent.
because of her look.
Yeah, right. Even with that talent, they said she had no shot because of the way she looked.
Yeah, they were wrong.
Just the open-mindedness of the entertainment industry never fails to impress me. Beyoncé is worried about husband Jay-Z. Us Weekly reports that friends of Beyoncé say she's concerned because he's been flirting with other women, partying without her, and seems to be acting like he's single.
Wow,
who could have seen that coming from Jay-Z? He seemed like such a humble, down-to-earth dude.
He doesn't strike me as a cheater, by the way, Jay-Z. He strikes me as a straight-up dude. Am I naive to think that he seems like a responsible, straight-up guy?
Yes!
Listen. I don't know. It's odd that you have a take on him either way.
I've spent a long time thinking about Jay-Z.
I don't get a feeling either way for him.
Some people, it wouldn't surprise you if they cheat. I would be surprised if Jay-Z cheated. Just doesn't seem like the kind of guy he is.
Because he's a multi-billionaire and has any woman that he wants at his fingertips?
Well, just because of that?
I'm not saying I wouldn't be tempted. I just thought Jay-Z was better than I am.
Well, that's because we boys.
He is.
You and Z are boys, absolutely.
It was so weird to see last weekend when they did that MTV 30th anniversary retrospective to see pictures of Jay-Z, video of Jay-Z at MTV Awards from many years ago before he developed this image that he has now where he's the guy with the sunglasses in the, you know, $10,000 suits.
Right.
He's there with a do-rag on his head. He's wearing, like, sports jerseys, big chains around his neck. It's just crazy to see what he used to look like.
Would you think that guy would be a cheater? Would you think that guy would be a cheater?
That guy was hitting everything that moved.
Yeah. Hi. Leopard meets spots that aren't changing. Zebra meets stripes. Would you peg Chris Hansen as a cheater? Would you think the guy from Dateline NBC would be a cheater?
I would
say yes. I would say yes, but he wouldn't get caught on video.
Well, you'd be wrong on both counts, both you and Lisa. He was caught on video, famously, of course. He was caught coming in and out of the home of Kristen Cadell, a 30-year-old TV news reporter in West Palm Beach, Florida. The National Enquirer exposed that story. They caught him on hidden camera. And the story gets better today because it turns out his other mistress is upset because he was cheating on her with the other mistress.
Well, I can see that.
Her name is Kathleen Collins. She is a stripper in Las Vegas, Nevada, or Vegas, as Bean likes to call it.
He does.
They met in early 2011 and had quite the fling. Friends say Kathleen was shocked and floored when she discovered that Chris had also been carrying on with that reporter in West Palm Beach, Florida. She learned from reading the National Enquirer story and seeing the pictures and the videos.
I'll just be your secret lover.
Right. So she knew that he was a guy who would cheat on his wife.
Yeah,
she was shocked to find out he was a guy who would cheat on his mistress.
That's right. You expect it with the wife, but not with the mistress.
By the way, one of our listeners very disappointed. And Ralph, I think you can see where he's coming from, that Kevin didn't speak up. He must know this stripper in Las Vegas, right?
That's true.
Where's his insight onto this story?
How does Kathleen Collins feel about it, Kevin?
She's pretty hot and she's very hurt.
Have you ever discussed that with her back in the champagne room?
Nope.
Here's my credit card. Just give me the seat at the end.
Put whatever you want on it.
We need party bus. We need party bus. We're the party bus. We need party bus.
I don't How dare you?
Yeah, okay. Say, you, tell me you didn't say those words outside,
I did, but,
outside
but,
a hotel casino and actually rent a party bus.
That happened. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Well, we loaded enough booze on the beer for the entire city of Las Vegas.
enough booze on the beer. Absolutely.
That happens sometimes.
What's going to happen to you in Chicago?
Nothing.
I don't know. I worry about that.
I don't think because the bar's closed there till 4 a.m., I don't think.
That's right.
And Dave is not a good influence. Dave is he can go all night kind of partier guy.
Let's go get more drinks. We can go to that bar. They're not closed till 5 o'clock.
But then when I'm drunk, I can't understand them. So I'm saying,
understand
them
when I'm sober.
What?
Let's talk about today's celebrity birthdays. Neil Armstrong, the man who walked on the moon. First one, anyway. 81 years old today. Maureen McCormick. She was Marcia on the legendary Brady Bunch TV series. She's 55 years old. Pat Smear of Foo Fighters and the Germs is 52. Tawny Katane from Celebrity Rehab. And the hood of David Coverdale's car. I just remember those videos so distinctly. She's 50 years old today. Adam Yauch of the Beastie Boys. He's 47. And Funkmaster Flex. We've been celebrating his birthday all day today, but we really haven't had the chance to really listen to any Flex. And Beer Mug does not have it ready.
Yes, I do.
All right.
No, you do not.
Yes,
you said
I
when I brought it, when here I came in, you said you had it ready.
It's waiting ready to play.
Pop goes the gat, I get over like a fat rat. Funk master flex and 9MM. Mad fat skills on the tables and the mic. With that,
6 million ways to die.
Flavor all night, clean up the cuss when I bust mother. This, I'm on some new improvements. Let me pop goes the gat, I get over like a fat rat. Funk master flex and 9MM. Mad fat skills on the tables and the mic. With that,
6 million ways to die.
That's a lot of Funkmaster Flex,
it
but thank
sure
you very
is.
Much.
Oh, I'm going to pour some out for my homies right now. That's how excited I am.
Got skills.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Thanks to everybody for listening to today's Kevin and Bean Show. We have a huge show for you on Monday. You're just going to have to trust me on that. I do know we'll be talking to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Also, your girlfriend, Stana Kanick, is going to be on. How about that?
Oh, come on from now. With the come on.
See you Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That's right, white pants.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I don't know. Don't look at me.
Roll another one.
Like a garden, I dig it.
Just like the other one.
What? What?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Huntsville, Alabama, hello.
How you keep it funky and juicy is the funk is the rhythm and all that jazz and the soul of the music and all that stuff. But you gotta be lubricated now, almost like snot, you know what I mean?
Oh, come on, Charles.
Roll, 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 roll another one.
There is a new way to get a facial.
Just like the other one.
What more can you see?
This one seems to be about.
Gentlemen, start your boners.
I don't have another cent.
Ooh, ooh! Arsenio Hall is here. Looking good.
Welcome to my nightmare.
Just pass it around.
This place is not uplifting.
You can all go home and there's nothing to worry about. Get out of here now. Go on. Go on home and I go home.
It's over. Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for all your blessings. You said in all things give thanks. In Jesus' name, boogity, 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 amen.
Okay, by my watch, it's margarita.